participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio. Cool echo, though.
Echo.
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 Echo. Oh, not that. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, Brooke feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation. So,
I initially thought maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant guy.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
And then I walked in the door and somebody said to me, hey, you know that guy Joey?
Mm-hmm.
You know that guy that you ordered not to go on that other radio show?
Yes.
Yeah, he did it.
Oh, great.
He did it. So
great.
We are going to deal with that, I guess, at the opening part of the show. That's what all the phones are on hold about, right?
Wonderful.
All right. Let me see. Hello. Yes. Don and Mike. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi, is this Todd?
This is Todd.
Let me give out our toll-free number. It's 1-800-636-1067. You can call us anytime during the show. Hello, Todd.
Hello.
Hi.
Heard Joey this morning on the Morning Guy show on WABV.
Oh, man. I mean, we didn't make it any more clear to him.
No.
Now, you know, they said they were trying to prepare him to be on y'all's show, though.
You know, this really perplexes me. This really grabs the mic. It's uncomfortable, makes it hard for me to sit down.
Yeah. There's a guy right now with scabs on his head that's starting to clap his hands really loudly. There's a guy named Rob that's out there and in his rotten T-shirt, his terribly rotten T-shirt, he's jumping up and down for joy.
Oh, that doesn't mean that he's going to get the job. Just let me say, I don't know if the guy who originally ate his own hair is going to get the job. We may have to have another round of competition.
I think so.
So we have this contest to find a new comedy slave. And this guy, Joey, very nice, personable guy, a gentle giant, something like 6'6 and 300 and some pounds, calls us up from Alabama and says, hey, I would love to come and I'd love to audition for this to be on your show.
Right.
To make a long story short, he comes up, he wins the audition, he goes back to Alabama, and he's going to pack his stuff and he's going to move up here to D.C.
Sure.
Well, yesterday, the program director, see, we're on an AM station. And the AM station is a sister station to an FM station that is much more powerful, has many more listeners, and is a totally different format. It plays records.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that the morning disc jockeys on this station spend a lot of time listening to our show and recycling our bits. You know, that's something that's done throughout the radio business.
Of course it is.
But I can't understand why they became so enamored with Joey.
Yeah, I guess they listened to the show and got the idea that they would pirate Joey from us, and we didn't want to have anything to do with that.
Listen, I got news for you loser disc jockeys whose names I don't even know. Open your own phones and find your own guy.
There are lots of people like Joey out there.
You know, I still don't understand the reason that they wanted to get involved with this, except that... Yes?
They've got their own guy.
They all have their own guy. I think the point is, though, they took our guy.
Right. Yeah, well, they sent your new guy out with their guy this morning.
They want our show to be involved with their show. That's not cross promotion. That is somebody taking something that we've done.
Well, they said that all morning. Said this is cross promotion, and every time they would mention him, they would mention he's going to be on Don and Mike on 1480 AM.
I don't care. I don't care.
And beyond what they did.
Yeah, we told Joey yesterday, we flat out told that big idiot not to do it.
They can do whatever they want, but we told Joey, you know, do not go on any other radio show.
Well, Joey, I hope you liked it, you big dope. Yeah. Don't drive up here now.
Save the expense of getting the truck. That's all. I look at it as I'm glad it didn't happen later. Yeah. Happened sooner than later.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And even if those disc jockeys did say that he was going to be a part of our show on the AM station, why can't they just find their own bit? You know, we didn't ask for their help. We're doing fine in Mobile, Alabama, getting numbers on our own.
And it's not really on our radio station. It's the FM sister station.
That we compete with.
Exactly.
They are not a friendly station to us. We hate all stations that we compete with.
It is war. It is always war.
Do you understand? That way it's very much like sports. You know, it's us against them, and there's a winner and there's a loser.
You know, this is the second time, too. This is after he had told Rob that he would call Rob, that he would talk to Rob at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he left town at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. All right, so what did he do? What did they say? Todd, can you tell me more information, please?
Well, I didn't catch everything they did this morning. I know they sent him out with their intern, and we got these paper guys here in Mobile that sell papers in the street,
mm-hmm.
and they had him go up and try to haggle with the guy. He only wanted to pay him 25 cents for a 50-cent paper.
Oh, sounds like a great bit, man. Sounds hysterically funny.
Yeah. That's the only thing I really heard him doing this morning. But they talk bad about you guys, too.
They talk bad. Well, good for them. Good for them.
They didn't steal the bits from y'all. And
goddamn losers. You didn't steal our bits. One with the guy that we found on our show on your show. You stupid pussies. God.
Their names are Wayne and Jay.
No, their names are Dog Crap and Dog Crap. You got it? Do you got me?
We're just in the get-go stages of the Don and Mike show.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, we steal all their bits. That's why whenever they get somebody on their show, we immediately want to have that person on our show.
You know, here I am once again finding the good in something, Don. We saved ourselves some trouble here. We got a guy. Seriously, this is the second time. Usually it's one strike, but we figured we'd give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. He's not trustworthy. That's all there is to it.
Well, I sure do hope that he enjoys being on that show in Mobile.
Hope they can use him on a regular basis.
Good luck to him. And thank you, Todd, listen, thank you for being our spy.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, man, that's a pisser.
That's too bad.
That is just a pisser. Let me call him.
That is very unfortunate.
Man, there is such a thing known as exclusivity.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sure, and he doesn't even have to understand that.
Can I help, please?
Can we talk to Joey?
She's gone. She's on hold already.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I remember the very last...
Howdy, happy.
Yes, hi, this is Don and Mike, and we're on the air right now. Can we talk to Joey, please?
He's starting my thing. Can you help one moment?
Yes, thank ye.
Yeah, it's the last thing we said to him. I remember it. It's the last thing we said.
Whatever you do, don't go on the other show.
Don't go on any other shows.
Made it very clear.
You know, he could have ended this himself. I mean, he could have not put himself in this position himself.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so obvious that maybe he wanted to go against what we wanted him to do.
Oh, who knows? Listen, maybe he was a plant by those disc jockeys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they want their names mentioned on this show. Well, their names are Dog Crap and Dog Crap.
Hey, are you there?
Yes.
Hold on a minute. I'll put you right on through.
Thank you. In Mobile, Alabama. Joey?
Yes.
Joey, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, listen, you dope. What's wrong with you?
What did we tell you yesterday?
You said don't go on the radio.
And why did you do that?
Because I'm milking this for all it's worth.
Why? Good. I hope you milked it, man. I hope you milked it because you're dead to me, you stupid son of a bitch.
Up yours.
You big fat turkey. You ate your own pubic hair, you idiot.
Ate your wife, too.
No, you ate yours. We were there. We saw you on the stage.
You weren't there afterwards.
Oh, so this is your comeback?
What did we ask you when we got on the phone with you? One thing we wanted you to do.
We said, please.
You asked.
No, we said, don't go on any other show.
Well, I hope that worked out for you, Joey.
Has anybody called you about that show?
Has anybody?
I got those DJs to say your show's name. I know.
Thank you so much.
Not anytime.
No. Thank you so much. What did we ask you, though, Joey? What did we say? Did we say, listen, whatever you do, don't go on another show?
Isn't that what we said?
Well, you asked me not to go on that show.
Just like Rob said, call him at 10 o'clock when you blew out of town at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're not trustworthy.
You know, Joey, I thought you were a good guy, man. I swear to God I thought you were a good guy.
I mean, I had the best of intentions to plug your show.
What was I don't need the help of WABB FM or those stupid morning disc jockeys for our show to be a success.
I really do apologize. I had the best intentions.
What, no, you couldn't have had the best intentions when we went through it with you yesterday and we said don't go on any other show.
Yeah. I mean, we made it indelibly clear. You knew where we were coming from on that. You knew exactly where we were coming from on that.
I think
the first answer is the truth. You're milking whatever in your own mind, milking it for all it's worth. Or you didn't have any intention.
But I mean, I really was trying to, you know, plug this, not necessarily plug it, but get it out there.
Well, that's the one thing we said. We said, don't do that. Don't go on any other shows.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Yeah, you did.
Right.
So just explain to me why you did it. What's the thought process? What, you didn't get enough attention? When you were on a national radio show, you didn't get enough attention when you were the focus of the show for a couple of days?
I really just wanted to be in a radio booth.
You wanted to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I never have been in the station, never have.
Well, you know, you were going to come up here and you were going to see our radio booth.
That's what I'm talking about. Before I came up there, I just wanted to go see what it was like.
So you had to go on a morning show. You couldn't just go to the station and say, hey, I'd like to take a tour.
Well, I mean, they asked me to come on.
And we asked you not to.
Well, I went on theirs.
Yeah?
Yeah, so now good luck. They can have you.
Okay.
Rot and die.
You too.
You big turd.
Why
don't you go take another turd in your mommy's dress? Huh? Why don't you go do that?
You let us down.
Big hillbilly.
You let us down.
I apologize, God.
Well, listen, enjoy your moment in the sun. And listen, do me a favor. When those other disc jockeys find out that you're just a big elephant man type, tell me when they drop you, give me a call.
Well,
okay. When your 5 minutes of fame is done on WABB-FM, give me a call.
Betrayal. Betrayal is terrible.
So when the TV show that contacted me...
Oh, yeah.
When I was supposed to call them back, don't mention your name on there.
On a TV show? Joey, I tell you what. If you get on a television show, I will kiss your ass on national radio. And I don't mean going on and being featured like as the local bumpkin on the Channel 5 news.
No, I mean this is a legit national show.
National television? They called you after you were on our show?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, God, they said, no, don't say on national, but I can tell you off the air.
No, you can tell us on the air because obviously you don't do what you say you're going to do.
I mean, they said don't.
And what we said don't go on the other show, so you can break that promise just like you broke that one to us yesterday.
So you mean you're on our show and you eat your own pubic hair and stuff, and then a talk show called you, a national talk show.
Yeah.
And what did they say to you?
They want me to come on. They're doing a show on people who've done crazy stuff to win crazy contests.
Oh. Listen, do you ever listen to the show? Don't you know that I turned down that show for us, one of those shows? We're going to have a bunch of disc jockeys proving how each one was stupider than the first. You don't win when you're in that situation. And if you go on that show, you better go on that show and tell them you lied to us. You lied to us.
Guys, if I can't come up, I'll still listen. I'll still and say your names and national TV.
Well, you know, the bottom line here and the thing that gets us more angry than anything else is that you said you weren't going to do it and you did it.
I know. And I apologize.
And that's real important because, you know, believe it or not, as silly as these positions are and the stupid stuff we have people do, trust is the only thing we ask of people when they come into this situation.
Yeah, I'll wait to see you. I'll wait to see you on that. And you know what? If you weren't on this show, and first off, I don't even know if that I believe that a television show really called you. But do you realize, Joey, that you would have never, if you really did get that call, you would have never gotten that call if you weren't on a national show. Do you got that?
I'm losing you.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, so why would you want to bite the hand that had been feeding you?
I really don't know, Don.
Yeah, I don't get it. I can't hear you. I don't.
That means you can't hear me.
Hello?
I really can't.
You can't hear us?
At all. I mean, you're barely coming in.
That's a nice coincidence.
That's like halfway through the conversation. Can you hear us now?
Hello?
Oh, man.
This is this is a weak way out of the argument. This is a really weak way out.
We're back.
Oh, now we're back.
Yeah.
Now we're back. Hey, thanks for the phone company. They're fantastic, man. Thank you. They're
glad
really
great. Glad they could fix that line.
They're really great.
Man. You got a little problem with the truth there, Joey.
No problem at all.
Yeah.
Big problem.
No problem at all.
Yeah, we can't bring somebody on board we don't trust.
Big problem. Boy, oh boy. You know, and like I said, this wouldn't be so bad if I didn't think, you know, that if I hadn't thought you were a nice guy. Thought you were an okay guy, man.
Well, I hope you understand. I did it for the best of intentions. And if you can't understand...
Don't BS a BSer, Joey. You didn't do it for the best of intentions.
No, honestly, did it.
You did it because you got to
get my 15 minutes of fame in the sunshine, whether it be in Mobile or Washington, D.C. I really don't care.
Yeah,
well, I hope you enjoyed it. It's over.
We don't care either.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Go put on your mommy's dress.
I'll take your wife's off while I'm at it.
You know, the thing is...
Hey, that's nice. That's nice, you stupid MF-er. How dare you talk about my wife, you big pig. I should come down there and make love to your mother. You dope. If you talk about my wife that way. If you want to insult somebody, insult me, you big, fat hypocrite.
No, he's gone. The end of that saga. We're better off.
Yeah. Sure.
Better off. We've got him in. If we brought him into the inner sanctum, you don't know what would have happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Well.
What a dick.
Yeah, just a liar. That's all there was. Just a liar. Just a guy that's just a BSer. Probably lots of stories about him lying to other people, too.
He lied to us.
We asked him. It's the one thing we asked him. He said, you know, we asked him, but during that conversation, he says, okay. He ended the conversation. Yeah, I won't go on another show. Yeah, we have the tape. We can play back the tape. That's
I just
exactly
want my 15 minutes of fame, man. My 15 minutes in the show.
Yeah.
Hope you liked it, Joey.
My daddy's rich. I don't care about anything. I don't have to do anything. Be responsible.
All right. Petty, you bet we are.
Well, listen.
No, you're right.
You know, we were nice to that guy, and that guy entered a contest here and won the contest. And, you know, all this backbiting and petty stuff, man, this is the way radio goes.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Stupid hillbilly. God.
Come now, you speak as if they were a gaggle of slack-jawed yokels.
No, just him.
Man, that makes me mad. Man.
Just him, man.
That really makes me mad.
Don't be talking about my wife. You big, fat hillbilly? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey. Oh, God.
You varmint-eating, roadkill-sucking, Cletus-gap-tooth, big, fat hillbilly. 15 minutes of fame. That's your 15 minutes of fame.
There it is.
See you in the lockup, Joey.
Yeah?
See you in the lockup. That's where guys like you end up. I'll be watching you one night on my show, In Pursuit.
Freaking. I love that show, by the way. It sounds great, man.
Dynamite's In Pursuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's in production now.
Dynamite's In Pursuit, a Quinn Martin production.
Easily, easily.
With that big hand coming out.
Mark 7.
Yes. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, do we have to start with such hostility on a good-looking Friday, everybody?
Oh, man. I still do you a world of good if you get mad at a big Jethro like that.
Well, you know, we had to take care of business.
Oh, man, I can't believe that hypocrite does that to you.
Had the TCB.
It bites the hand that feeds you, man. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Hey, he didn't. Believe me, the way this thing ended, there were question marks about this guy from the very beginning. You know, and trust is the main thing, you know?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Don.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hello there.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Can you believe that guy?
Oh, we're not totally surprised, but we're a little bit disappointed.
You know what?
Because I could tell the other day when he didn't show up and he was headed towards home, I knew there was something wrong. You guys are the radio guys.
I think really what I said before, I think, is really the truth. Yeah. I think the truth is...
No. Hold on. Time out.
What? Rob?
The other guy, the guy with the dirty T-shirt, he's outside and he has a sign that says, trust me.
I like it.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
I love you, man. I got to run.
Hey, thank you, my friend.
God bless you.
Thank you. All right.
God bless the United States of America.
Rob, didn't take him long. Where is he sleeping? His car in the parking lot?
You know, that guy Joey, man, even if he had said, hey, listen, I'm sorry I was stupid, I went on that show. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was right as soon as I said something about him eating his pubic hair,
mm-hmm.
which he did,
right.
You know, which I totally loved.
Sure.
I endorsed that.
Sure.
It was a fantastic bit. Right away, he's got to say something nasty about my wife, man.
Yeah, didn't hesitate at all. So that I questioned the old motives there,
yes.
too.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I got to wonder if he wasn't a plant from this other morning show the whole time. They sent him up here when they heard about it, and had him go through it and do whatever it took to win.
Yes, but what do they get out of it? You know, all we've said is that WABB-FM is a stupid station, and those guys are dog crap.
Just as a wacky bit, you know.
You never know. You never know. See, but here's the thing. I would buy that if it was someone who was doing radio of the genre that we do.
Right.
But you're talking about guys who play 10 records an hour, guys who can only talk for 2 minutes at a time. It would take 2 minutes to explain what you were just talking about.
The theory I have about this is that he never had any intention of it. I really think that he did it on purpose. I think that he realized that it was an out. He didn't want to leave Mobile, and that's what he did.
Well, he shouldn't have been such a girl about it.
I'll tell you something right now. The guy...
No offense to you girls out there.
Just the guy lacked credibility. There was trustworthiness factors all over this.
Yeah. Good. I hope he has a good time on WABB-FM.
Sure. Let him rock and roll.
He's going to be the big star down there, man. Someday I'm going to turn on my TV and say, hey, it's the Fat Joey Show. Tonight, Joey will take a crap in his mom's dress.
Here's the hillbilly.
Yeah.
Hello.
Can I be the new slave?
Oh, no. Well, see. And, no. You know, as far as the replaceable factor.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Yep.
Rob.
Hello. That guy's still outside, Mike.
Trust me.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
He's a big puss.
Yes, we're all agreed on that, sir. We're all agreed on that.
God, what a loser.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I just love the way that sounded.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, our audience understands what's going on.
They sure do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just want to say that, you know, that Joey guy, you know, he settled for a hamburger when he could have steak.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And a little piece of hamburger that had been regurgitated.
Exactly.
Not even real hamburger.
And the kind of food that comes out of, like, Elkins' mouths when they're feeding their young, when they regurgitate into their young's mouth.
He had a Spam burger.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, last call on this topic, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
Maybe Rob A. just can't be replaced.
Well, no, listen, if there's anything I've learned, it's that Rob A. is totally replaceable. thank you, my friend.
Thank you. You guys are the best.
All right. No more calls about that. So, anyway.
Well, it's just another chapter.
There you go.
Another chapter. The Joey chapter is closed.
But listen, I guarantee at some point, you know, 6 months from now, 7 months from now, somebody's going to call and say, remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was up on top of a building wearing his mom's dress.
The yellow dress.
Soiled.
The yellow dress, and it was soiled, and he was shooting at people. That's going to be, you just mark my words.
Sure.
It's coming sometime soon.
I think maybe life's come a little too easy to young Joey.
Mm-hmm. Rich boy.
That's probably what it is. That's probably the problem.
Spoiled rich boy.
Yep, spoiled rich boy. You know, he said that right at the beginning. He told us that.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
He said, I can do whatever I want. My daddy's got money.
Well, real good.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you eat pubic hair every hour on the hour on WABB-FM? That's good, Joey. Oh, that was a fantastic idea, man. That really endeared me to him. I thought he had the spirit of a guy who would do anything for this show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's too bad.
That's a shame.
That's too bad. He had some real potential.
He did indeed.
Well, he's dead to me now.
I know he is. Me too.
Yep. Is he dead to you, Buzz?
Dead to me.
How about you, Rob?
Joey who?
Dead man walking.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, Uncle Fester is still outside with a big sign that say, trust me.
Uncle Fester is persistent.
Yes, I mean. Don't know.
Listen, I don't either. None of us know.
I've been terribly scarred by Joey.
I know. Burned. We need a breather.
Yes. I don't want to go to that scary guy outside just on the rebound, Mike.
I understand.
I think he'll be true to us.
I understand. Although he... You know, it was his idea initially that spurred Joey on to doing the pubic hair when he carved his skull up with that Bic razor and ate the hair.
See him outside, though.
Is he wearing one of those T-shirts again?
Well, it looks like a clean T-shirt this time.
Clean T-shirt?
Huh. It looks like... Let me see a T-shirt. Put your signs down for a second. We have to wait 10 seconds for the delay to catch up because he's listening on in his headphones. Right. Now he's walking the other... Walk back this way. Put your signs down. Let me see a T-shirt. He has on a Club Med T-shirt.
Club Med.
Club Med.
There you go. Cosmopolitan guy.
Yeah. All right. I don't know.
Cosmo guy.
I don't know. Let's do a quick commercial break, and I'll try to pull myself together from this emotional shock. Someone get my shrink on the phone. Call Dr. Katz, please. Yeah. And we will be right back.
WJFK.
Now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
My guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by... Little Brown will be going to your calls at the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do, and
there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline, and although I have a contract with the publisher, they have the right to, you know, diddle with my outline, which they always do. And I have to work out the details and then start it and then write it. And so we're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very long because whatever you may have done, I mean, you've written enough books to know this, until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. Even, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
Who's your agent?
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
I know Esther.
Lovely woman.
I is Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do? Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
But he has a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think if I were a full-time writer, I don't think I'd use Sterling. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine. You know, I get these. Well, I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Hmm. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right about just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. Yours on the bestseller list yet?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month, and the book, the bestseller list is 2 weeks behind, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Same cover?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are, you know, sort of against the female.
Can't read this.
In New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut, in New Canaan.
East Side?
West Side, right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice, I like this.
Yeah.
It's really growing, that area.
Uh-huh.
Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. And you, these guys, these landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years. Now, in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it. Good.
Damn right. Now, I thought we were on a break. Okay, so we've been sitting here all the time, talking and not talking. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, here's Larry? Did you hear it, Robert?
No, I did not.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back. So we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177, and this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. Last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like that.
Agents.
Can't be much interest to...
Couldn't have been... If you heard whatever you heard, we didn't curse.
The Don and Mike Show.
Home of the world's dumbest millionaire. The Don and Mike Show.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to let y'all know y'all forgot one angle about old Joey.
Yes, are we still talking about Joey?
Well, I've been on the payphone for a little while waiting to get on.
Okay.
You remember when you called his sister? Well, you called his mom's house and you talked to his sister?
Mm-hmm.
What did she tell you if he moved up to Washington?
His girlfriend would be upset.
Well, she told you that his girlfriend and her would whoop his ass.
Right.
So that's
you wait. How long did you wait on the payphone to tell us that?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen him on television. This is Matlock on our phones.
No, Mike started it off.
Well,
Mike said he had ulterior motives for going on that other show.
It's your fault, Mike.
It's my fault, sir. Thank you, Matlock.
You started it.
On Mike's show.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Buzz. How you doing, guys?
Hey, we're great, thank you.
I just think it's kind of ironic. I was in the contest, too. I was the first guy that sucked and got booed off the stage. I think it's...
Hold on. Are you the guy that wanted to fight Jimmy the intern?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We appreciate you trying, but it was not a real deep idea.
Oh, yeah. I found that out the hard way. Had I known it was going to be a sick out, I'd have brought my razor, too.
Okay.
A sick out.
A sick out.
I like
but,
that.
But I just think it's kind of ironic because I came down there with the sincerest of intentions because I'm going to Columbia right now, and the fat guy won, and here it was, he's nice.
Yeah.
Yes, well, if only we would have been bright enough to choose the guy who wanted to fight our phone screener.
Yeah.
I guess that is our mistake, huh?
Boy, he showed us.
What were we thinking? Ouch.
Oh, my God. Hello? I feel so good. Oh, yeah. Oh,
slow down. Oh, yeah. Is Donald Duck having sex?
Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
Daddy.
Right. Oh, my God. What the hell was that? Hello, Don Mike.
You crazy bitches.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm still laughing at Donald Duck. What?
Hello.
You wouldn't even be able to guess who this is.
You're right. Guess. I have no idea,
out
sir.
Out of 2 million listeners, you can't guess?
3 million.
Okay, that's what I meant, 14.
Let me see.
But
it's the guy that talks at the same time we're talking.
Yes.
Is that who it is?
Yes, it is.
Yes?
And you remember me in Ocean City? I'm that crazy one-eyebrowed guy that jumped on the stage.
No, are you the guy who looks like Carrot Top?
No, man, come on.
Did you ever sing?
No, I'm the guy that told you that I looked like, what's his name, George Clooney. Anyway, I auditioned to be your, what is it?
Oh, they're all coming out of the woodwork now.
Comedy.
Well, I'll say this, they're loyal.
They are loyal.
No, but Don, listen to this.
Yes, sir.
I've listened to you since sixth grade, and I'm now in my third year of college. I went to the University of Alabama, and I know these Alabama boys.
Yes.
All right. He's always talking about his daddy. My daddy's rich. Look, he's sleeping with his daddy. That's what he's doing.
Oh, my attorney will be in touch.
Okay.
All right. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Our audience feels such hostility for Joey.
Yes, they do.
Where do they get that from?
Loyalty for us, hostility for Joey.
Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, Buzz. How you doing? This is Kevin from Sacramento.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, I think Joey blew it. I mean, if I wasn't married and I didn't have any ties, hell, I'd jump in my car and drive cross-country.
Yeah, well, he didn't trustworthy.
No, he wasn't.
Well,
that was horrible the way he attacked you, Don. You should turn his phone number loose to the Don and Mike client.
Listen, our audience, let me just say this. I love you. You're a bunch of hate mongers. I love you so much. But no, we don't need to give his phone number out.
No way. We're just done with him. And, you know, we're really, during the break, honestly, we all were saying, hey, we dodged a bullet there. We really did.
Thank goodness the guy didn't get all the way up here and we involved him in the show and then we found out what type of guy he was.
Yeah, we find out he's lifting stuff from the studio, you know, that kind of thing. Not that there's anything worth stealing in here.
Oh, what about your magazine collection?
That's back in our office.
I'd go right for that if I was there.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, this is Larry from Sacramento, and I want to tell you a little, I don't know, do you remember when Tommy Boy lost his internship?
Tommy Boy? Are you talking about Chris Farley? Or are you talking no, that's Black Sheep. Are you talking about the Chris Farley movie where the guy from Animal House was running for the governor of Washington?
Actually, Joey, he works for his dad, right?
Wait, hold on.
What are you talking about?
Are we talking about a Chris Farley movie, or are we talking about this guy Joey?
You're talking about this guy Joey. I call him Tommy Boy because he works for his dad in his own business.
Just let me say, that is an insult to the real Tommy Boy, Chris Farley.
Yeah, if you remember, Tommy Boy pulled that whole factory out of the fire. That Tommy Boy made sure the Callahan Auto Parts were going to be used, and he went out on the road with David Spade.
Uh-huh. I could take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed. For the love of God!
Richard, don't hide from your feelings.
A Beverly Hills Ninja. That sucks, man.
But what I want to bring to the table is, remember when he lost his internship and he called up and he threatened a congressman
Oh, I do remember that. Although I got to tell you something, that kind of endeared me to him. You remember when he called our show and he said that he had smoked pot or something in his past, and then the congressman, he was going to come to D.C. to be an intern for the congressman. The congressman's office heard that and they called him back, and then they said, we don't want you to be our intern.
Good move by the congressman.
Then when he was on our show again, yeah, he said he would kick the congressman's ass. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you know, I was wide-eyed and in love. You know. I was just thinking, oh, Joey.
Joey. Yeah.
Joey. Now he's dead to me.
Yeah, he's a loser.
He's a memory.
That's all I have to say.
He's a memory in his mommy's dress. All right, thank you, Larry.
Okay, thanks.
All right, goodbye. Bye.
That was Larry's take on the world.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Uncle Fester's still outside.
Looking really, now that he's shaved the head completely, looking scarier. I didn't think that was possible. He actually looks scarier now.
Not much chance he's going to be getting that job today, at least. So if you can hear me outside, and his name is Rob, is that his name?
Was it Rob Grip?
Grippy.
Rob Grippy. Rob Grippy.
I don't think we're going to make a decision. Although, you know what? I do have these 25 gallons of ice cream.
He looks like he'd love them.
Oh, yeah. All right. Come on in.
Come on in, Rob.
Bring him in. I'm sorry, Rob. Our Rob A is upset.
Rob's very, very scared.
Come on in. Rob, why don't you go escort the other Rob in?
There you go.
Make yourself useful.
Don't hurt him. Rob Grippy making his way into the studio now.
We'll have him eat some ice cream.
Yeah. He's persistent. He deserves at least that. This is no indication of anything permanent.
No, it's just we got all this ice cream, and we want to thank Baskin-Robbins, one of our great sponsors, for providing the watermelon ice cream, Stars, Stripes, and Exploding Bites ice cream, and also the Swiss Almond Bliss ice cream.
Ooh.
Courtesy of Baskin-Robbins.
That sounds good.
One of their Baskin-Robbins in the Twin Brook Shopping Center.
Swiss Almond Bliss.
Yes. It's dreamy, Mike.
Oh, boy, give me a giant scoop of Swiss Almond Bliss.
And here he comes. Oh, Jesus, he's a scary-looking guy.
He is,
man.
With that head shave, that is he.
You know, he's kind of looking like Full Metal Jacket a little bit.
Yes, he is.
Very, Private Pile?
Very much so.
All right, here he is.
Here he comes. Here comes Rob Grippy.
Hey, Rob.
Yes, come up to the microphone,
right,
Rob.
Right over there, Rob.
Hi there.
Hey. How you doing?
How's it going?
I see the scars have healed on your head.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I cut myself that bad.
Yeah, and he's totally shaved his head now.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what is your take on all of this stuff that has happened with Joey?
I didn't think he'd show up anyway. I just didn't. I just got that impression.
Mm-hmm. And now you must have just, what are you, like, stalking us in the parking lot? Because
no.
We announced at 3 o'clock that this guy Joey is ratting us out, and then 10 minutes later you're out front of our building with big signs saying, trust me.
I live around here.
You live close by?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
And you've been a fan for a long time, right?
Oh,
calm down, Rob. Calm down now, Rob.
Since John Belushi used to do your closing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well. You know, with his head like that, he really does look like that Private Pile from Full Metal Jacket.
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah. A jelly donut in your foot locker.
Yeah.
It's chowed out in the mess, Private Pile.
And listen, don't let anybody tell you that those glasses that turn into sunglasses outside and then inside, don't let anybody tell you those don't work, because those work great.
Those work great, and I actually dropped them and broke them.
No. Do they have tape on them?
All over
yes,
my
they
head.
Do, Mike.
Scotch tape. Yeah. Have you repaired them with scotch tape?
No, I repaired them with the little transparent tape, not even scotch.
Oh, really?
Wow. And listen, that doesn't work because they still look like sunglasses in here.
Yeah.
They don't lighten up all the way.
Well, I mean, it will eventually, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen, are you hungry, son?
Sure am.
Okay.
Of course.
We have about 25 gallons of ice cream. What we'd like you to do during the next break, maybe we could set them up right there in the corner. We'll continue with the show. We can talk. Well, listen, I want to watch him eat and get the ice cream headache, Mike.
Okay, yeah. Don. He scares me, Don.
Please don't be
afraid. I'm not afraid of you. No,
yes,
I'm not.
Yes, Rob A. Spiewak. Yes, hi.
I'd like to recommend the Stars and Stripes flavor, because I took a gallon of that home last night, and I didn't know it has Pop Rocks in it. And about four bites into it, I swear to God, I thought I was having a heart attack, because there was noise going off in my head. So I think if you give him that, you're really going to speed up the situation.
All right, well, listen, we'll get him out of here right now. Okay? Yeah, no offense, but just, like, put him in a back room or something. And we come back from the break. We'll talk movies with Chuck Stossel.
Very good.
And while we're doing that, we can have this guy eat ice cream.
Good.
No, hold on a second.
Why? Oh, no. That, is there something with him, too?
Yeah, I got... Here's a background report on this guy. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you guys doing?
Hello, Bill.
Real good. Hey. I just called to let you... About 2 years ago, Robert Grippy worked for us at Domino's in Pan Am Shopping Center there.
I believe he's now moved on to Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Well, at the time he was working for us, he was living out of his car... And maybe taking a shower once every 2 weeks or as needed.
He was living out of his car.
Living out of his car.
Is he living out of his car now? Oh, no.
Oh. All right.
Is he living out of his car? Will someone find out if he lives out of his car?
Ask him if he... Rob?
Not that that should... Exactly. I guess that's how he could be around so quickly. He lives in the area. Sure. He's living in our parking lot.
He is mobile.
Is he living out of his car now?
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if we can have a guy living out of his car.
Oh, no. Rob, you should go get yourself a job.
What kind of car is it?
Well, the car he delivers pizzas in, I guess.
Right. I bet it smells real good. Right. What kind of car is it, Robe? Did you ask him? Oh, here comes Mr. Broyhill.
He says it's an 89 Volkswagen Jetta. He can't afford a place to live, though.
Oh,
but
man.
He has a phone.
Where does he like clean himself then?
Doesn't he have a job though? Yeah, I mean even
he delivers
pizza. He delivers pizza. Yeah.
He's a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
He works at home.
How does he wash himself?
Does he have to go to a
McDonald's and get?
Do you want to get him in here and ask him about this?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me do a commercial son.
Okay.
And then we'll come back. Yeah. Bill, thank you for the heads up.
All right. Thanks, okay. John and Mike.
All right. Bye bye.
That's how he got here. You know, I was joking about him being in the parking lot.
Yeah, he was.
Oh my God.
All right. We'll be right back, everybody. Guy's got a BO problem. There is no doubt about it.
And he's going to eat some ice cream now.
Yes, I walked in the back room to have a mini conference with Charles Broyhill, and I had the opportunity to stand next to Rob Grippy. And wow.
Yeah.
Wow, P.U.
Well, he's here and he's ready to perform.
Get him some deodorant, maybe. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi.
All right, now this is a support call.
A support call for Rob.
For Rob.
Okay, now, I know that you listen to my private pile. And
you know what? Hey, is this Leslie?
Yes, it is.
Leslie, are you on a cordless?
No.
Because I'm really having a hard time getting you up here on the board.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay. I've known Rob for years, and I know that he looks like private pile, and I know that he doesn't have the best BO.
You know, he does have the... He does not have the best BO, right?
I know.
Yes.
I
Although,
know.
Isn't that kind of a oxymoron or misnomer to have the best BO?
You know, there's another contest. The best BO. You know, who has to call it the worst? Who's got the best BO? The most pungent, the most noticeable, a best BO contest.
So, what did you want to say about it, Leslie?
I just wanted to say that I've known him for years. He's a really nice guy. He's intelligent.
You weren't one of his caretakers or anything like that, were you?
No, he doesn't have any caretakers.
I'm just curious, just wanting... You know,
caretaker is Mr. Goodrich.
No, he doesn't need it.
Okay.
What he didn't tell you is that he lives in his car because his friends ruined his credit, and he can't get on the lease anywhere. If I had a room, I'd rent to him.
Sounds like a guy we'd like to get involved with, huh? All right, thank you, Leslie.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's good. Support calls are good.
Thank you. Okay, and here he is now. Rob Gripple.
Rob Gripple?
Rob Gripple?
Is it Grippy?
What is it, Rob?
Grippy.
Grippy is Italian. It means sickness.
It's what?
It's Italian. It means sickness, he said. Rob Grippy.
Yes, sir.
Grippy. All right. Now, you're living out of your car.
Yeah. For about a month now, actually.
For about a month?
Wow. Yeah.
Where do you bathe and stuff, man?
Well, you know, I don't exactly want an audience there when I do it.
Oh, okay.
It's cool, pretty much.
Cool. Do you have to go, like, to a Denny's or something, or...?
No.
Do you have a place you can go to get cleaned up and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I took a shower about 2 hours ago, but it's kind of hot out there, and I've been.
It didn't work. It didn't take, man.
Okay, so you're looking to get a place though?
Oh yeah, sure.
And you know you do have a job with the Pizza Hut, right?
No, I got fired 2 days ago.
You got fired from Pizza Hut two
what
days
happened,
ago.
What happened there, Rob?
They fired me for verbally abusing another employee, but I don't think I did it.
Oh, no.
Explain that to me. What happened?
Well, you see, the thing is, the bank where we usually cash our paychecks at stopped doing it, and I have like 6 uncashed paychecks here.
Wow.
Because mostly I've been living off tips. So I got really mad, and I called the corporate office, and I got, you know, one of those deals where you get put on hold, and you get put to this thing and to this thing. And after about half an hour of, like, going from this to this and trying to find out, they said, well, no one is really available to take your call, so leave a message. So I left a message basically saying, you know, F L U F U F.
So you were, and then they fired you.
And then they found out who did.
Disgruntled.
Disgruntled employee.
Pizza employee.
Oh, my God.
Man. All right, hold on. Jimmy the intern has a comment. Someone has called. Is it on his behalf, Jimmy?
It's about him. It was one of his friends who wouldn't give his name, but says that this gentleman actually has a couple $1,000 that he keeps on him in his car, but won't spend it on a hotel or
a place
at the shop.
Well, that's not good. Everybody knows that
well,
now.
Yeah. Well,
oh, my God. Do you keep
that
running?
True? Is that true, though?
It's in uncashed checks. It's not in cash.
Okay.
Well, then, why don't you get a place to live?
I'm trying to find a place to live. I've been calling different places, and I just really haven't been that successful.
Really? And your friends ruined your credit?
Yeah.
How did they do that?
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, we rented this place over in Fairfax, and neither of us made enough money, so we both had to be in the lease, and then he just went like that.
He split?
He split.
Oh, man.
Well, actually, he's back in town now, but there's, you know, you can't wring blood out of a rock, so to speak,
right.
I really can't get any money from him.
You got any family or anything like that around?
Oh, yeah, they live in Vegas.
They live in Vegas?
Oh, well, well, listen, maybe they're going to hear you now, because we're on in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
We're on in Las Vegas.
My dad's got money, too. He's the vice president in charge of operations of the Riviera.
Really?
Wait, hold on. All right.
Yes,
Time out.
Your dad is a big man with the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas?
Yeah. He's vice president in charge of operations.
So why don't you call daddy and ask him for a loan, man?
Is that a pride thing?
Sort of, yeah. I mean...
Well, listen. I mean, all kidding aside about you doing this job, you're living in a car, man.
Yeah, everybody tells me this. You know, why don't you just sponge off your rich dad in Vegas? But, I've been trying to be out here and, you know, get the band going and maybe do something like that.
You have a band?
No, they all left town, too.
Oh, no.
Rob!
Oh. Man, this is terrible, man.
Why is everybody always picking on me? Your dad is really a big man at the Riviera Hotel.
Yeah.
So you could call him and he'd help you out if you called him?
Yeah, but...
Would you want to call him now?
My hair stand up on the back of his neck over the phone, and I hate doing that.
Come on.
For money. It's like, I hear him take that deep breath over the phone, and it's like...
But have you told him that your friends ruined your credit, and you're having to live in a car, and you got fired from Pizza Hut?
Does he know everything that's going on?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
Does he really? What did he say?
I can go back there if I want and, you know, live there for, you know, as long as it takes to, you know, find a place.
Really? But you don't want to, huh?
Well, I had this band thing going, but now it's not really going, and I've been thinking of going
out there. Tell us about the band. What was the band thing going that you had?
Yeah. Well, I had this band called Everybody Sucks But Me, and...
Good name. All right, good name, Rob.
And it's basically what ended up happening was...
Why are you holding your head like that? That's freaking me out. Are you all right?
Sorry. No, I'm not.
Your
head's going to explode.
Okay.
I'm perfectly fine.
Okay.
Well, I pretty much... One of them decided to move to Minnesota to be in a band that was signed, and then the other two said, oh, okay. So they both moved to Richmond.
So you're a musician?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you a singer?
Yeah, I'm the lead vocalist and a songwriter.
Cool.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Do you play any instruments?
I play acoustic guitar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sing something for us?
Right now?
Yeah. You know Mbop? That was a joke. I love Hanson.
It's a Hanson tune.
I'm the only guy that likes Hanson. Many people think that I'm a super queer because I like Hanson. Maybe I am. I don't know.
So your whole band disbanded, basically.
The drummer's still here, and the bass players are only in Richmond. So.
What's your sexuality? That's a legit question.
I like the raised eyebrows,
like
too.
Homo, hetero, that kind of thing?
Yeah. What's your sexuality?
Oh, hetero.
Hetero. Okay.
Have you had any dates?
Resume, please. Sexual resume?
Not very hetero, very successfully.
Really?
Have you successfully linked with another human female?
You're not a virgin, are you? You can admit if you're a virgin.
Tell us.
You're a virgin?
Probably.
No, hold on.
I don't remember, but probably.
Hold on. This is something you either know or you don't know. Either you're a virgin or you're not.
Okay,
here's a little demonstration. Did you, this is you, this is her. Did you?
Yeah.
No?
Okay, all right.
Okay.
All right, did you get this? Did you get some? No, you didn't get it. Did you?
Yeah, females usually don't find me very attractive. I don't know.
How old are you, Rob? How old are you?
28.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
We attract guys like this, like the Shell No Pest strip.
We do. Any job prospects for you besides, doing this?
Well, I only lost the job 2 days ago. I mean, I've been pretty much lounging around, just doing nothing.
Just lounging in the car?
Yeah, you know.
So listen, all kidding aside, when you live in your car, like, where do you park and stuff? What's a safe area to park and spend the night?
Well, you know, not like I want an audience or anything, but...
Well, give me an example, a generic example. Is it a shopping center? Is it a residential area?
Anything, really. I mean, anything's good as long as, it's not something too off the beaten path where it would be suspicious, but not something in the middle of everything.
Do you
know?
Go back to get together with your family, like, for holidays and stuff
every Christmas.
Every Christmas you go back.
Yeah.
So you do have a family connection.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right.
Your dad really is a big shot at the Riviera.
Yes. Yes, he
wow.
is.
Wow.
You know what I can't get? Why don't you just call them and say, listen, Dad, you know, I've hit a real tough spot here.
Uh-huh.
Can you please help me out?
Well, I've got money. mean, it's just...
you've got money,
you would
but
just
you're...
rather be unbathed living in your car, right?
No, I'm not unbathed.
Now, is
just,
this...
I haven't found a place to live yet.
Is this the
okay,
first time...
Right.
You say it's only been a couple of months that you've been living in your car?
Yeah, before
well, the
that
guy
I had
called
a place
the from the other pizza place.
I've been homeless other times before,
uh-huh.
because I keep getting places with my friends, and then... You
right.
know, something happens to the place, and then I got to move.
Hey, you know what? I think right. I got some brood or something back in our desk. Would someone run back to the desk and see if I've got any of my perfumes back there?
So all of your possessions are with you.
I'll give you a nice Elvis bath.
In the car.
In the car.
Except for my electric guitar, which is with a friend of mine.
With a friend. Yeah. All right.
So when you live in your car, what's the living room? Front seat?
Pretty much all the stuff's taken up every place except the driver's seat.
So you have to sleep sitting up, or do you go sideways on the front seat?
Oh, you can put the seat all the way back down.
All the way back.
You seem like an intelligent guy. Are you a high school graduate?
No.
No, you dropped out of high school?
No, I dropped out and got the GED thing.
Oh, you got the so you have your GED?
Yep.
Uh-huh. And what is the ultimate goal for you, Rob?
Something in music, really. I mean,
something in music.
I happen to think I'm an absolutely brilliant songwriter.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, you think you're a brilliant songwriter?
Yes.
Can you give us some of the titles of the songs?
You should write a song about your life, man. I mean, I'm not goofing. I should write a song about it.
No.
My dad works at the Riviera, and I live in my car.
Jewel lived in her car until she had this recent hit.
Did she really?
Yes, she did. Jewel lived in her car?
In San Diego. She and her mother both lived in their cars.
Is part of the living in your car because of that? Is part of the living in your car because you kind of like the idea of the writing songs about being, in hard times and all that?
You know, it's partially that, and, you know, I've done it before, so it really isn't that bad. I mean,
okay.
Do you find, like us, people get a little weirded out when you say that? That, especially if you've got family, places where you could stay?
They don't seem to understand it a whole lot.
Yeah.
And maybe they get weirded out, but they don't tell me.
Would you consider calling your dad? I mean, on the show?
Sure. I don't know the number of the hotel he's...
That we can find
work right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Behind us.
Well, that would be wild, man.
Yes, it would.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm not going to have you eat the ice cream right now, man.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by you.
This is a fascinating story here for us. You can understand our fascination, right?
You know, beyond you eating your own hair and, like, being our comedy slave, you do seem like a pretty decent guy. I would like to try to help you out. I'd like to try to help you out.
Would you mind if we tried to help you out here? I mean, in whatever. I mean, because you... You shouldn't be living in your car.
Yeah,
man.
No kidding.
We feel badly.
It's like it's.
Now, what about raving out though with the people that you said? I mean, did you lose the other pizza delivery job too in a similar way where you kind of raved out or what?
What happened to Domino's?
No, they said I wasn't doing a good job. And the thing is, well, I don't want to mention that on the air. But,
why not?
They were
why stop at this point?
They were doing something with my paycheck that I didn't like either, and it's sort of a half fired, half quit thing.
Okay, so you quit that one. Now, any other jobs in your? I mean, you're 28. Obviously, you've had other jobs.
Yeah.
What other jobs?
Mostly
have you had?
Delivering pizzas.
Pizza delivery is your thing.
Pizza delivery is a pretty good job. You know, it's kind of relaxing. You just drive around.
Sure. Set your own hours. Now, listen, I can deal with that. Yeah. If you're a guy who loves being in, I love being in my car, but there's no way I'd want to live in my car.
Sure.
So maybe how about this? We'll break here. We'll come back. We'll call your dad. You know, see if maybe there's something your dad can do for you. Maybe your dad knows somebody at a pizza place in Vegas or something where, you know, would you like to be the manager of a pizza place?
No, I just, I was thinking about going to Vegas, and then I heard about the con. I said, well, what the hell?
Oh, so we call your dad, we can at least get you back to Vegas, which I think might be the best idea of all.
Well, especially if your dad's a big shot,
I mean,
a high roller.
Vegas myself. I just visited them a couple months ago.
Well, we call him. I mean, can we just close that deal for you so it would be kind of like peace of mind for us? You know, say, hey, Dad, take him back, and then we'd know everything's okay.
Did you ever see the movie Casino?
Okay. Yeah,
yep.
Sure.
Is your dad like Robert De Niro?
It was filmed right on the studio floor of the Riviera. I mean, right on the casino floor of the Riviera.
So your dad wears those goofy-looking pastel suits that Robert De Niro wore, no?
It's like it says in the movie. You know, Vegas is a lot different than it was in the 70s.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, hold on a second. Now, I've got all kinds of people that want to talk to you and want to help you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Buzz, how are you all?
We're great, thanks.
Hey, listen, you all are being a little too hard on your intern to be there. I mean, Rob, I mean...
Well, what do you mean?
How are we being hard on him?
Well, because what you're not understanding is that he's got his vision of where he wants to be.
Right.
And
well, that's
just
cool.
Because he's not willing to settle into society's, vision of how one should work your way up.
All right, Timothy Leary, we're just trying to we're just trying to help the guy out.
Hey, listen, it's not particularly safe to live in your car.
Well, I'm an artist now, and a very successful artist. But when I was getting started, I lived for 3 years in an abandoned building.
Well, you know what I would say? I'd say that's a lot better than living in your car.
Well, the car might be a transitional phase.
It's a transition to the abandoned building.
did you also have an opportunity to live with family or something?
Oh,
like
sure,
that?
And I had a regular job. I worked.
All right. Well, then look.
So this is way. You know, I understand what this guy's saying. This is somebody who's giving us the perspective of, you know. For art's sake, right?
Well,
you're doing it for art's sake.
Maybe you would understand our position if you could take a good look at it.
Oh, God.
I mean, you're just...
I'm a father now.
Maybe if you could come in this room and you could smell him.
Right.
Maybe you'd understand our perspective.
No
offense, Rob.
I understand exactly. If my son was doing that...
Take a scoop. You want some?
Yeah.
Sure. Are you hungry?
Go ahead. Help yourself. Help yourself.
And give us the... what's the review of the flavor? You're obviously, you're what?
There are pop rocks in it, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, I called because I'm listening to this guy's plight here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's living in this car. I'm an independent record producer. I don't make a lot of money, and I don't work for a big record company, but I do work for a record company.
Oh, really? Would you give the name so I know you're legit?
I work for Vision Quest Records.
All right, I've heard of them, okay.
Vision Quest Records.
Yeah, we were distributed by Laurie for many years, and now we're through Sony.
That's Laurie Partridge, everybody. That's
right,
who you're
right.
Distributed.
Oh, you're really hungry, aren't you?
Anyway.
No, not really. I just love ice cream. Right.
He's diving into this ice cream.
All right. Barry,
yeah.
Is that your name? Can you hold on, please?
Sure.
Okay, because we have to do a commercial set here.
Did you,
all right,
Rob, you know, can I say something that just weirded me out a little bit just then?
Okay.
We had a record guy on the phone. You heard that, obviously.
Yeah,
you heard the you kind of didn't react at all. You just you were focused more on your ice cream than you were.
Ice cream's good.
Okay.
He's an artist, man.
Yeah. Okay.
He's an artist.
All right.
All right, we'll come right back, and we'll call your dad. Frankly, I'm fascinated with that part of the story.
Yes, so am I.
So, boy, you really like that ice cream, don't you, Rob?
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
We'll be right back, everybody.
WJFK.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hi.
What's the matter?
My mother caught me.
Caught you? Doing what?
You know. I was alone.
You mean?
She caught you?
I stopped by the house to drop the car off, and I went inside for a few minutes. Nobody was there. They're supposed to be working. My mother had a Glamour magazine. I started losing
Glamour?
So one thing led to another.
So what did she do?
First she screams, George, what are you doing? My God! And it looked like she was going to faint. She started clutching the wall, trying to hang on to it.
Man.
I didn't know whether to try and keep her from falling or zip up.
What did you do?
I zipped up.
Did she bounce?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't run over there the way I was.
No, I guess
I wouldn't think so.
So she fell, and then she started screaming, my back, my back. So I picked her up. I took her to the hospital.
How is she?
She's in traction.
Sorry.
It's not funny, Elaine.
I know. I'm fine.
Her back went out. She's got to be there for a couple of days. All she said on the way over in the car was, why, George, why? I said, because it's there.
Glamour?
The Don and Mike Show.
They welcome vicious personal attacks. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Rob, you're making your way through that half gallon pretty good there. Why don't you pull the microphone,
towards you there, Rob.
There you go. Make yourself comfortable. You can pull it forward.
See how I have mine here?
Talk
this close. See how Mike has his very close to your mouth.
Very close? Okay.
Yeah.
So how's the Pop Rocks sensation is really, like, interesting.
You never served any time, have you, Rob? Any time?
No, I haven't.
At all
right, here's another important question. Have you ever been institutionalized?
Not while I've been an adult.
All right. Yeah,
not while I've been an adult. So since you've been 18, you've been cool?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Really?
Okay. All right, let me get that record producer back on the line.
Not while I've been an adult. He's a mystery man.
Yes.
He's not giving us the answers that make us totally comfortable.
That's an enigma. He's a carman.
Pretty scary.
Hello, Barry. Now,
yeah.
You're the guy who's the record producer, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Rob?
Hello, Barry.
Maybe you could tear yourself away from that ice cream just for a second.
Yeah, you have a, are you hungry? You know, we were discussing that. And,
no,
you know, you didn't seem really... You're not really hungry. You were eating it, like, seriously, like it was the last half-gallon of ice cream on the planet.
I eat everything that way.
You do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. God. You were just eating it because it was there.
Yeah, basically. I ate a lot, so, you know.
You how much lot. Did you eat? That was, what was that, a half gallon or a gallon?
I don't know. I made about half of that, however much that is.
Did you get... How much of that, Rob?
A quart?
You get a quart of ice cream.
Yeah, that's a half gallon right there that he's got.
You get an ice cream headache?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
All right, Barry. Yes, hi, Barry. The record producer, you're on now with Rob.
Well, hi, Rob.
Hello.
Tell me about your music, Rob.
It's just, it's all over the place. It's really hard to describe. It's, you know, just whatever works with the song.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help me much.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd love to be able to help you out if you, you know, if you want to. Do you have any tapes? Have you done any recording at all?
Yeah, sure. In fact,
were they in the glove compartment?
No, they're. I'm not sure. I actually dropped one off here last time I came over here.
But, a music tape?
Yeah.
All right.
I got one in the car.
Oh, that's
about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'd be happy to leave my address there with those guys, and you can send me some material. The reason I called is because. You know, I've done the same thing, man. I've lived off the street because I'm a musician, and right now I'm, you know, real fortunate. And if your music's good and it speaks, you know, it speaks for you, if it's modern and cutting edge,
so to speak,
I would love to hear it. And, there's a couple of places that I know where other musicians live. There's rooms available. And
That's very nice of you, Barry.
You know, if we could work together and I could do some production work or decide to do some production work for you, then I certainly can provide you with a roof.
What do you think of that, Rob?
I mean, someone who could do production work would be great because the masters have been sitting in this studio for, like, almost a year now, waiting to, like, get someone to do it.
I don't want to bore the audience with technical stuff about what format and that kind of thing like that. We can talk about that later. But, you know, I just thought I'd give you the offer because I hate to see some guy living in his car, especially if he's got good music to sell.
All right, well, thank you. Barry, that's real nice. Hold on, please.
Sure.
Barry.
Hold on.
That's very nice of him. Very nice.
It's nice to know he cares.
I'd like to hear a little sample of your musical ability. Can you tell me what type of music you like? Maybe I can put something on here and you can sing along and we can hear what you got to offer.
Oh, I'm not really much of a singer. I'm more of a songwriter, really.
Okay,
songwriter.
So you're a songwriter. And your tape features other people singing your stuff?
No, it features me singing my stuff.
You
but
singing
it's good
your stuff.
Stuff.
Give us a title or two.
What's on there? The first song is Cute Little Redhead in the Bondage Flick.
Cute Little Redhead in a Bondage Flick?
How's that one go?
The love song.
It's sort of like it's a spoken word kind of thing.
Every time I think you can't
like
scare me
Smith.
More, you know, you scare me more. My God.
Listen, are you familiar with the Wallflowers? Have you heard that song they play?
Yeah, sure.
One headlight. Okay, listen, here it is. I want to hear you sing along with this.
I
know
I
you
don't
said
really
you're
know
not
the words.
You know the part where they go with one headlight.
Yeah.
I'll cue it up to that part.
Any other titles while he's queuing that up? Any other titles?
Blood Orgy at the Mall.
Blood Orgy at the Mall?
Yeah. There's one called A-Hole.
I think you need some better titles, man. There it is. Better Than in the Middle. Because me and Cinderella got it all together.
Me and Cinderella got it all together. We can take it all. With one headlight.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, that's not bad. I expected much worse.
Right.
Let me hear you with the music here. Now, can we turn up the speaker so we can hear?
Hold on.
I'll reach you for you. Okay, now, listen. A lot of people are listening, so here you go. No pressure, but do a great job. Here you go.
We'll be all together. Got to be something better than in the middle. Me and Cinderella got it all together. We can take it all with one headlight.
Well, he can sing. Yeah. He has proven he can sing.
I give you some credit, Rob. That's not bad. I expect you to sound like me, for goodness sake.
I tell you, even during your singing, though, I was thinking about those song titles. Do they all involve death and the bloodiness and all that
no,
stuff?
Oh, no.
Do you have any sweet titles? Blood Orgy at the Mall.
The one I have is called The Happy Song.
The Happy Song.
The Happy Song.
And all the others are like Kill, Maim, Destroy?
No, not really. It's, you know, just...
you got to get happier
titles.
Whatever
I'm helping to think of, you know.
Where's my Hanson record?
Yeah. They got lots of happy titles out, like Oom-bop and
Oom-bop, yeah.
Oom-bop. Mm-hmm. They got another song called Oom-bop.
What inspired you to write Blood Orgy at the Mall?
I was thinking about that. When I was 18.
Oh, really?
So, you know, that's what most 18-year-olds write about, I would.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let me take a couple more calls here for Rob, because our audience has a lot of stuff they want to say to him.
Very good.
All right, here's a guy in a local band. Okay, hello, is this Mike?
Yeah, hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks. You guys rule. I've listened to you out for quite a long time.
We do appreciate that.
But, I want to talk to Rob, because I'm in a band, and we're looking for a lead singer / songwriter guy. Because we've got a bunch of ideas for songs, we've got music, but none of us in the band can write any form of lyrics whatsoever.
Okay.
And, I'm attempting to sing while I play at the same time, but I'm not the best one at it. I'm more of a background vocal singer.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, it's an acquired skill.
Yeah, it takes me a while. I'm getting better at it, but we're looking for, a lead singer and a songwriter. To kind of help us out, we've got some connections with a lot of the local places that play local bands around in the Fairfax area.
Okay. Well, listen, Mike, hold on a second. We'll get that information also.
All right, now we've gotten a record producer and a guy with a band. Are you feeling pretty good about yourself right now?
You guys are a very powerful organ.
Here's another call for you, Ron.
Powerful organ.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi. Does Rob ever get to watch TV?
Just very occasionally. Just very occasionally.
And what would that be? If you're walking past an appliance store or something?
when I go over and visit one of my friends or something.
Okay. Yeah,
you do have lots of friends, huh?
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Okay, good. Have you thought about crashing with your friends?
Yeah, I ask all of them, and they keep saying, well, you know, we're full. Well, you know, okay. If I had a room,
All right, I understand. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hey, we're just getting ready to fire our band, though. We always listen to you folks before we start. From one musician to another, tell him good luck. I hope it pans out for him. We're behind him.
See, that's our goodwill from our audience, right?
All right. Well, thank you. We're
you guys got the best audience in the world.
Tell him to take a chance on it. Go for it. That's what he's looking for. Go for it.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Now, listen, you have all this support. You have a couple of leads. All we got to do now is call your dad. Because I'm still fascinated by the fact that
I am too.
Dad is like a vice president with the Riviera.
I am too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and I just read this memo that has nothing to do with our friend Tiny here.
Yes.
But did anybody read this memo?
No.
At the front desk? Memo to staff from Ken Stevens.
Yes.
I have been told that boxes stored in the reception area and in other areas of the building have been opened and the merchandise has been removed that is stolen from the boxes.
Aha!
Ooh. In case you are the person who is opening these boxes, let me assure you that what you are doing is stealing and you will be fired immediately when you are caught.
You know, I heard Tammy the other day.
Theft will not be tolerated.
Right. I heard her.
Kenito Stevens.
I heard her complaining about the fact that that stuff had been ripped off.
Wow. Who would steal the junk that's out of the lobby, though?
If people, you know, just to steal.
Hey, what's been stolen? That's cool. I love a mystery.
A brand new car, Bob. It's a new car.
You didn't take anything, did you, Rob?
Okay.
Rob A., do you know about this?
I remember there was some time ago when there was a broken remember when there was like three TVs out there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, one of them was stolen. The broken one was stolen. And 2 weeks later, they returned it. And no one knows who took it, but they got it home.
Are you kidding? Someone that works here stole one of those big screen TVs from the lobby?
I don't know if they work here, but I mean, I remember this happening, yeah.
Wow.
How come we didn't find out about that?
And it wasn't me.
Wow. All right. Little espionage here at CBS Radio.
So much going on today.
Okay, hold on. Rob, I think we've about figured out your situation. We got you a couple of leads. We'll do a quick break. We'll come right back. We'll call your dad, and then we should probably just part as friends like that.
Okay.
He doesn't care.
Nothing phases you, does it?
Not a whole lot,
Not a whole lot.
It rolls right off my back.
So once when you leave here, I mean, you got these leads here. What are you going to do? Are you going to go back to Vegas, or are you going to go, pursue some of these leads? What do you think you'll do?
Don't know.
Oh, God.
Weird, man.
Oh, weird.
This guy's weird.
Weird. Okay, listen. Well, I can ask you this off the air. Hold on a second there, Robin. Everybody, we'll be right back. All right, we're about to wind it up here with Rob, who was originally out front of the station today with a sign saying, trust me, he's the guy who ate his own hair at our Comedy Slave tryout earlier this week up in Ocean City, Maryland.
That's right, and we've been grilling him a little bit, finding out all about him, and we've got a couple of leads for him and giving him some ice cream, and oh, my God.
Wow.
Here he comes.
All right.
Come on in, Rob.
Come on in, Rob.
Let's call his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anything, I just want to see if we can help him get on his feet in some way. We have a couple tips for him. We have the guy from the record company, and a lot of guys and bands have called. And now we're just going to call your dad.
Anything you'd like to add before we call your dad?
No, not really.
Not really.
Yeah, think of anything.
You're weird, man. I mean, I like you. You're cool, but you're weird.
And the weirdness comes in the...
Riviera Hotel. This is Janie. How may I get your call?
Hi, this is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now. Do you want to ask for your dad? What's your dad's name?
Colonel Grippy.
Colonel Grippy, please.
I'm sorry, who, sir?
Colonel Grippy?
No, that's who he is.
Oh, I know. Oh. Yes, my name is Don, and this is my friend Mike. We're doing a radio show right now.
Okay.
And we have Colonel Grippy's son here with us.
Son Rob.
Is it... What's his first name, Grippy, on Grippy?
Rob Grippy. That's
Rob
me.
Grippy?
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, Rob Grippy.
Is he a registered guest?
No, no, we want a guy who works at the hotel.
I'm his son. I'm Colonel Grippy's son.
Okay, but I need to know who's... he works here in the hotel, correct?
Yes, he's the operations... He's the vice president in charge of operations.
Okay, thank you. That's Jerry Grippy, sir.
Yeah, Jerry. Colonel.
Thank
yes.
you.
Okay.
All right.
You.
Oh, so your dad really does.
All right, that's cool. All right, that's
a
big sigh of relief from all of us here.
Yeah. All right.
Good.
You love
that? You know, you have been.
Not lying.
You've been very honest. You haven't said anything. You know, unlike that other guy, Joey.
No, no.
Joey had a credibility problem.
We're going to try to help you, man. I mean, I'd like you to be our comedy slave and to you know, to take advantage of it and everything. But I don't feel right taking advantage of somebody like that when I don't think that person's on their feet. You understand what I'm saying?
I've got plenty of money on me. It's just, you know, I'll find a place to live when I find a place to live.
And cuisine in restaurants.
Okay.
We'll let you handle it with your dad.
Yeah, I don't really know what you want me to say to him.
Sir?
I mean,
hello?
Hello? Hi, yes. This is the hotel operator again.
Yes.
Mr. Grippy's still at lunch.
Oh, he's still at lunch. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, would you tell him his son called?
And your name is?
Rob
My
Grippy.
Name is Rob.
Rob Grippy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Yep. I'll let him know.
Hey, what's the lounge act tonight?
I'm sorry?
Who's performing in the lounge tonight at the Riviera?
In the lounge tonight in the Le Bistro Lounge?
Yes, in Le Bistro Lounge.
Okay, we have playing in the Le Bistro Lounge tonight.
Uh-huh.
It'll be just, Sneak Preview and Touch of Silk.
And who's in your main ballroom tonight?
Tonight we have, that's...
You know who was on TV last night? It was those two...
Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy. Saw them. Yeah.
Those two queers with their animals.
No, we don't show anybody in the main lounge.
Oh. Well, I mean, what about your big showroom?
Big showroom is just Slash.
What was that?
Slash.
Slash.
Slash from Guns N' Roses?
No.
You say Splash or Slash?
S-P.
Splash.
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 Is that one of your big, production shows?
Yes, sir.
All right, gotcha. Okay, well, just tell the colonel that his son called, just to check in.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right.
Okay, well, we verified that. That makes any... Will you try to get in contact with him again, or what?
I call him, you know, every week or two or whatever.
Uh-huh. And he knows your situation and knows...
Yeah, sure. It's
Does he ever say, hey, can I... You know, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's the point. I mean... Has your dad ever said to you, listen, you're living in a car, things are not going too great, why don't you let me help you?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, whenever I need any help, I call him and he helps me, but
you don't ask, huh?
I don't ask,
does he know
I don't ask a whole lot.
Does he know the car? Does he know that you're living in the car?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What does he say about it?
Well, you know, I think he's just at that point where he's gone, hey, he's supposed to be an adult, you know, let him do what he wants to.
Okay. Right.
If he needs help, he can call.
So you've been doing this a lot. You said you've been homeless before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he kind of just says, all right, you deal with it any way you can. And if you need help, I'm always there.
Yeah.
That's
well,
what
he's a great
he
guy.
All right.
He really is.
If you get on your feet, you know, give us a call. But I feel weird about that, man.
Yeah, we want you to go out and, you know, pursue these leads, get a job. Get an apartment and let us know when everything's going all right. And
right.
We hope your music thing works out. But quit living in your car.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, especially if you have the financial means to not live in your car.
Yeah, we're a little concerned about it.
I've been calling places. I just, I haven't gotten any...
But what about like a cheap hotel or something?
Oh, man, the hotels around here are expensive, even the really cheap ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hold on. I got one more call for you.
Okay.
And then we're going to end this. Here is someone who's offering you a job. Hello.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Court.
Yes, hello.
And I'm calling from Mount Vernon Hospital.
Last name TV.
Furniture rental.
Now, right now,
room.
Me and my dad heard
Jester
Marshall
story on the radio.
Yeah.
And August 31st, we're moving into a 3-bedroom apartment, and we need a roommate, and we can get him a job as soon as tomorrow.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'd be interested in the place to live, but I mean, I could probably find my own job, but yeah, I'd be interested in the place to live. I got plenty of money.
Oh, you'd like this job, though. It's like working at...
See, man, you're too weird. That's what weirds me out about you. You got guys calling saying, listen, we'll give you leads on a job, and you're like, yeah, I don't care. I got money, but you're living in your car.
We got a nice room for him. It's a 3-bedroom apartment in Fairfax Square.
That's great, yeah. Great.
All right, yeah. All right, Charlie, I hope you're writing all these numbers down for him.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, Rob, please keep us abreast of what happens with you.
Would he fall into the category of the most laid-back guy we've ever met in our lives?
Absolutely.
You're the most laid. Do people call you laid-back? Have you always been this laid-back?
Yeah, I pretty much always had this attitude.
You weren't laid-back when you called the paycheck people the other day.
Well,
I was
a little upset.
You were a little upset.
Yeah,
moments of long moments of calm.
Are you on Valium or anything like that?
No. I'm getting. Yeah.
You getting what?
I had a little bit of an ice cream headache earlier, but I'm fine.
All right. Okay. All right. Court, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Hold on. Okay. Well, Rob, nice meeting you.
Get the numbers
and please keep us abreast of what's happening.
You want a half gallon for the road?
No, just melt in the car.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, Rob. Nice meeting you.
Well, it was good meeting you.
Thanks for being such a loyal fan of our show.
Good luck with the music career.
All right.
Good luck with finding a place to live.
Good luck with getting a job.
All right.
And good luck with everything.
All right. Thanks.
Good luck with getting laid.
All right.
Good luck with whatever you want.
Okay.
Okay.
The world is your oyster.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. How can I thank you?
Would
really?
You like to any parting words? Any parting words?
Any parting words
for your fans? Because I know after this much time in the studio, you already have fans.
All right, Don and Mike, radio gods. What can I say? Also, a couple of nicest human beings, really, on the face of the earth. Got to say it.
Oh, well, you're very sweet. Right.
Thank you, Rob. Right.
Okay.
Good luck to you. Let us know what's going on.
Bye, Rob.
Just don't do it out in front of the studio.
Yeah. Sure.
Call us and let us know what's going on.
Get an address.
Yeah. Please keep in touch though, and call us. We'd like to hear from you.
Just call.
Call, though.
Don't come by.
Underlined.
Call.
Call.
Can we lock that door? There you go, Rob. Put a chair up against the door, please.
And give them the numbers, too. Give them the numbers of all those nice people that called.
Well, you know, there was really no funny way to get out of that.
Obviously, he's legit. I don't dispute anything he says. We thought, of course, like a lot of people thought, perhaps that the thing with the hotel was maybe just a total fabrication.
Yeah, but he knew. So, everybody, that's the end of the story of Rob, the crazy guy who lives in his car. Come on, Rob. Good night, everybody.
That's right.
Okay. I'll just take one call on this topic, and then we will move on. Hello. So I have some great bilingual theater tapes to play for you today, including the Spanish version of Scooby-Doo and also the Jetsons.
Bueno.
Hello.
Hello.
La Supersonics.
La Supersonicas.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a comment about old Rob there.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling that no matter how much anybody tries to help him, he doesn't want to be helped. Like, he's got the money. He's got the six paychecks that he hasn't cashed. He's got the dad that he can go to if he wants to. I've had a friend like that where no matter what you do to try to help him, they always just kind of live in their car and they don't bathe. And I don't know what it is about that kind of guy, but that's the feeling I get.
All right, maybe you're right. I don't know. And listen, there's a lot of stuff that I don't know about, like the six paychecks. And,
sure, and we can analyze and we can judge all we want, but the bottom line is he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He seems to be a lucid individual, and
seems to be,
and whatever he does, really, it is a free country. It is his business.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I called earlier about our band getting ready to fire up and everything. And
yeah.
Going to go, it's not the end of the story. He's the guy that's going to go far. He just don't give a crap. It's going to land in his lap. And he'll be the one to make everybody out there struggling.
He's arousing passionate people.
Yeah. We've all spent time. I mean, I spent 3 years in a garage. And now I've got my own house, little estate and everything. But He'll go places. He just don't. He's sitting there eating ice cream, and everybody's offering him everything. He'll make it.
He'll make it. All right. Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, see, you know what that was? That was a little tinge of sour grace. What he was saying was, he's the type of guy that'll make it. A guy that doesn't care. A guy that's having everything offered to him.
It's true.
The next thing we're going to turn on MTV tomorrow is going to be him shaking his big butt on TV.
And that nothing would make us happier.
Okay, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Robbie.
Yes, this is Rob H. Spiewak. Welcome to my show. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, as always.
Oh, great. Hey, I was just calling. My name's Joe. I'm
thinking about doing some aerobic exercise.
Don't do it, Rob. Welcome to Fantasyland.
All right.
I'm Rob Spiewak. Hi, welcome to my show.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't get my radio down. I'm sorry. Yes. Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, Buzz. How you doing?
There you go.
Okay, hi.
You're finally clued in.
Hello.
I got it. I was just calling. My name's Joe. I'm calling to say that I'll cash his checks for him. I got an account that'll...
Well, that's another thing about that whole thing that struck me as weird, but I didn't know if I wanted to say anything. I'm like, let me see the checks, because that was the weirdest part. If you've got money on you,
right?
Why would you drive around and live in your car? But then, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, one thing...
I don't know!
The one thing that we didn't explore and we haven't mentioned, there might be a laziness factor here.
Yeah, there might be a total,
you know, laziness gone wild.
It's possible.
You know, that is an outside shot, you know.
He looked like he had the potential to be lazy.
Absolutely. He went into that ice cream pretty hard, and, you know, who knows? Who knows? But, hey, we got him some leads, and he's left happy. That's the important thing.
We think he left happy.
Okay. I hope he left happy.
Did he leave? Is he gone?
I think he's gone, Don.
Get the chair against the door?
What?
Get the chair against the door?
The chair against the door.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, everybody's... Is he gone?
Clear.
He's clear. All right.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back.
WJFK.
May I help you?
Yes. This is not the best breakfast I ever ate, and I'd like my money back.
I believe you have to fill out a form for that.
No, I'd like my money back now.
I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You see, I have to fill out a form, and, well, you ate most of it already, so...
See that sign? It says 100% guaranteed. You know what the meaning of guarantee is? Did they teach you that here?
Sir, if you just wait a minute...
Look, just put your little hand back in the cash register and give me my $2.75 back, please, Brad.
Sir, if you just give me a minute, I'll find the forms. I'll take care of everything.
I don't have a minute. You've made me late enough. I am so tired of dealing with incompetence. It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
The Don and Mike Show.
The leading cause of obesity in America, The Don and Mike Show.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Hello.
Hi.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is this Don?
And Mike.
I have some exciting news for you, I think.
Yes.
I believe you've spoken in the past about how Frida doesn't enjoy sex as much as you do.
She enjoys it. What do you mean? Because she doesn't finish?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
The big finish.
Right.
Well, there's a new drug on the market for male impotence called Viagra.
Honey, I don't have impotence.
No.
I've got the opposite problem.
I realize that.
And like Ralph Malph.
Mm-hmm. Like a 15-year-old, like a 16-year-old. I mean, it's just constant.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not impotent.
Right.
No, I know that.
I could go over and over again. It's just I can't go very long.
I know that. One of the doctors I work for told me yesterday that off-label, you can give it to women to improve their enjoyment.
Are you talking about when you say off-label, you mean illegally, right?
No, it's not illegal. A doctor can write it.
I read it. What a surprise. You know
Buzz
about
all about it.
Dr. Burbank.
I just happened to read about this today, and they think now.
What would I have to do, grind it up and, like, slip it into her food somehow?
No, say, hey, Frida, if you want to finish, take this.
Never mind.
And Frida would come to you and say, no, right. Thank you.
Right.
God.
But Buzz knows all about that.
I do.
You are sick, Buzz.
What does off-label mean? I always thought off-label was it's not being prescribed.
I thought there's like outlet shopping.
Yeah, I don't know what that phrase means.
What is off-label?
But I know about the drug.
What is it?
Viagra?
Yeah.
It's a drug that is used to treat male impotence, and it increases blood flow to the genitals, and now...
You don't take it, do you, Buzz?
They think it does the same thing for women that it does for women. Not yet.
Hello?
That's frightening.
Yes, I find that a little frightening also. Yeah.
That scares me. Hey, Don, it's Kaz in Vegas.
Hey, all right, the DJ. Hey, super. Kaz. Hey, it's Kaz, man.
That had to be the funniest thing, and I almost missed it, but I heard you talking about Doll.
Ow, buddy. Right, so you're like a super radio groupie and you're into business? Right, man.
How did you guess the name of Kaz?
Kaz. Where did I get it?
Yeah.
Just an old nickname through high school. It was Kaz, Kaz, Kaz.
Sorry, let me hear you, like, in your radio speak.
Oh, come on.
Let me hear your jive radio.
No, I sound the same as I do right now, like I'm talking to you.
No, let me hear your jive radio delivery.
There is no jive radio
delivery. Do they let you talk over the records on the station you work at?
Never.
What is, all right, here's a different question.
Okay.
What is the staple of the Kaz show? What is one of your regular can't-miss bits?
Traffic. That's about it.
Okay.
This is some disc jockey from Las Vegas that works on another station.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What shift do you do?
Afternoons.
So you're on against us?
No, for an hour.
Oh, right, because it's, what time is it there? It's like 2:20, right?
Yeah, 2:25.
So you sit around, listen to our show all every day and wish you could do stuff like this?
No, never.
You're totally satisfied reading the weather.
What's that?
You're really satisfied reading the weather, aren't you?
Well, occasionally.
You don't do any bits, you just play the hits?
Hello?
Kaz?
Hello.
Kaz, are you having trouble hearing us?
See, here's the problem.
I'm on this ghetto phone
Here's the problem with disc jockeys. Today's disc jockeys, the program directors don't let them talk. So you get a guy like this in a forum where you could actually speak, and he's locking up.
It's basically what
he's locking up, man. Yeah, the music is the message. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Here's Celine Dion. Woo! And you have to ask Poseidon every time you play that stupid Titanic song?
Never.
What is your best slogan identifier?
Mix 94.1, today's best music mix.
That's original.
Mm. Yeah, well.
So would you like to branch out and do something else? Would you like to do something different? Or are you content doing what you're doing?
No, I would love to do something completely different down the road.
See, but the difference between a guy like this and a guy like me is that I got off my ass and did it. A guy like this would be playing records his whole life.
No, not me.
Yeah. He's very dissatisfied. He's unhappy, but he doesn't have the guts that it takes to make the career change, to take the tough job, to get fired for saying Celine Dion's a bitch, for not playing the records that the program directors want. That's the difference between you and me, Kaz. Kaz.
And you do it right there. You start at the station you're at. That's how it starts.
Right.
It's not like you have to go get another job where you can do it. You do it where you are.
If this guy wanted to, he could change his career today, but it would mean that he might get fired.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Celine Dion is a bitch.
Yeah, but you're doing that on our show, you said.
You would never...
I don't play Celine Dion.
What do you play that's like Celine Dion? You must play bad music.
No, nothing like that. It's Wallflowers. It's...
Wallflowers suck, too.
Or whatever. Wallflowers suck. I hate all the music we play.
Yeah, but, see, that's the kind of statement you should make.
But you'd never do that. You would never do that. You would never do that, would you?
Sure.
I dare you to today. I dare you to.
You want me to do it today?
How about you don't play any music on your show this afternoon, and you talk about sex for an hour?
I guarantee that if anybody turns this station on, it'd be the same thing. 94.1 Cosman, Wallflowers, right, 304. And that's the break right there. And he takes his headphones off and goes, God, I wish I could do a show like Don and Mike.
See, it may sound like we're browbeating you here, Kaz, but we're actually just giving you a suggestion.
I figured I was going to be getting this anyway.
Give you the impetus to do something, to get off your ass, to stop taking this.
You're in Vegas. You don't have a gambling problem, do you, Kaz?
No, not at all.
All right.
How many commercials a day do you have to cut?
Actually, none. I don't have to do any of those.
All right, well, listen, what are you doing calling us for? You got the best gig in the world. You love your job. You don't have to do production.
Music director and assistant PD for the station as well.
Yeah, that means a lot.
Yeah.
That means an awful lot. What do you think that's going to get you down the road?
A headache. Of course. Who knows?
But you like our show, Kaz?
No, I love it. Don, I've been listening to you since, 83 when I was living in Chicago. My sister... actually, I used to listen to you, and that's how I found you when I was back in high school. I used to listen to Steve and Gary. That's what just set me off.
So, in other words, it's been like 20 years now that you've been listening to radio shows that you'd like to emulate, but you can't do it. And you'll go back in there today and just play the same goddamn 20 records over and over. And you'll be the program director's butt boy, because you got the title, man, of assistant program director.
Nah.
That's right. I know that. I know that, Kaz. Kaz, I urge you today, one time, be honest with your audience. When you go on there, just crack the mic and say, "Dag nabbit, this is Kaz, and all these records suck." Hey, Mitch 94.
And, you know, Vegas has got a lot of hookers. Cruise the strip and bring a couple of hookers into the studio with you.
Oh, the wife will love that.
Man, well, you got to tell the wife. She's got to be a part of it.
She's got to be a part of it.
Right.
Have your wife on with the two hookers.
There you go.
That's got to never do it. All right, I know you'll have another depressing show today, but I'm glad that we can give you some kind of inspiration.
No problem.
Pussy.
You take care, Cos.
All right. Pussy. See you guys.
I dare you to say something on your show today that will get your boss mad. I dare you to. I dare you to.
And send you the tape?
Send us the tape.
All
right, we'll see.
Why don't you come on today and say, this is Cos. Hey, everybody, kiss my ass. Would that be too much for your station, saying ass? Would you have to say butt?
No, I could probably get over that.
Kiss my dairy air.
Dairy air.
That's what I urge you to do today. First break, when you crack the microphone. Mix 94, this is Cos. Kiss my ass.
And then you can go into a record and let everybody digest the shock of that moment.
Yeah.
And then come back and go, you might want to know why I started a show with that. Let me tell you why. The people here, you know, launch into about a half-hour tirade on the program.
Yeah, talk about how bad the station is. Right? Because you got to hate it. All right? You got some program director, some jerk who would be doing a show if he could, but he can't, so he's like the boss of the DJs, right?
And even if you can't think of anything that's really bad to say about the general manager or the program director, which should be very easy, just make up stuff. You know, anything goes.
And with the general manager, just talk about him physically.
That's right.
I mean, he's got to have some weird stuff going for him.
Absolutely. Like skin tags.
I'm giving you great advice here, Cos.
Oh, you are. I'm writing it all down.
Oh, BS. What are you writing down? Tell me what you've written down.
It's Cos, kiss my ass. You know, all that stuff. GM, the PD.
You know, as a matter of fact,
20 years.
Depending on how uptight your program director is, you could feasibly get fired for making this appearance today on our show.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. Have you thought about that, Cos?
No, it's crossed my mind the past couple of minutes.
And what happens when it does cross your mind?
See, then it's too late. Then you haven't said your piece. They fire you for coming on a competing show. That's why every time you get in there and you crack the microphone, say what you want.
You know, you could even roll into your program director's office today, Cos, and say, listen, I want on Don and Mike's show. And if he has a meltdown, then you get on your show. And, you know it's over anyway, so you're really cut loose.
All right.
And you roll tape on it.
There you go.
And then you send that out to another 1,000 stations, but you won't do it. I've met too many disc jockeys like you. Guys want to do it. Just big cowards. Coward to the program director. Afraid to say what you really think. I bet you'll be saying today it's a good-looking Tuesday. Good-looking Tuesday. Hey, mad about you coming on tonight. Cos Show would be doing some more Titanic trivia coming up. Super. Cos Show on a good-looking Tuesday. Right, buddy.
What do you think, Cos? Is there a chance?
There's a possibility.
Oh.
Of what? With Don? Of the happy smiley?
What? Cos, listen.
Yeah.
You sound like a good guy. I'm glad you're a fan of the show.
No, Don. I mean, that's all I wanted to...
Right. I appreciate that. I've really been trying to give you some advice.
And
you will never take it. Enjoy it. You're going to have a lifetime of... You'll be like one of those guys. It'll be 30, 35. You realize you're going nowhere, and then you got to find a second career. You'll be like selling shoes.
See, all of this is not necessarily directed at you, Cos. It's directed at a deep-seated hatred of program directors.
We got it.
That's where this all comes from.
We got it going on. And you shouldn't let that guy... You have to have critiques with him?
Yeah, we do. Air check meetings? Yeah, we do those.
Oh, that's the worst, where a disc jockey's got to sit down with the program director. Again, a guy who, if he could do a radio show, he'd be doing it.
Yeah.
But he can't. So he sits there, and most times they have a big legal pad, and they'll listen to a break, and they'll rewind the tape and listen to it again. Then they'll go, I want you to say it like this. Not by you. You're saying W. Say W. Or, I want it like this. Today's hit music.
Yeah.
Today's hit music, right? Isn't that the nitpick crap that program directors do?
And meanwhile, you're thinking to yourself, what if I had a small caliber firearm that I could just put at his temple and pull the trigger?
Blow his head off. Listen, Cos,
Cos,
I want to tell you something. We have given you the ingredients to today to turn your career around.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life, Cos.
But I am convinced that you are such a pussy-like robot disc jockey, you will go in and continue to do the same sludge every day.
That's the challenge, Cos. He's laid down the challenge.
Goodbye, Cos. Goodbye forever, Cos. Goodbye, Cos.
Bye-bye.
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 He wouldn't even have the balls to say that on his show. He'd have to say goodbye. Couldn't say bye-bye.
Goodbye, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, good night.
See, there's a guy who wants to do more.
That's
a
right.
guy who wants to do more.
I hope you've given him the proper motivation to go and do it today. I hope today's the day, you know, he stops, he hangs up the phone, and he looks off into space and goes, yeah, yeah, that's trouble!
As a matter of fact, Cos, are you still there?
Yeah.
Today, your first break, don't say kiss my ass. Say, 94, this is Cos, and I want to say thanks, Don and Mike,
mm-hmm.
for saving my career. How about that? Or are you too chicken to do that, too?
Thank Don and Mike.
Are you too chicken to do that?
I can do that.
I will
but
do
I don't know that you've saved my career, though. That's the thing.
I've given you the advice
you've
to continue
You've given me
your
the
career.
Advice.
Right. All right, what am I saying? It's going to be 3 o'clock, and you're going to read whatever they have written down for you. All right, goodbye.
Bye, Cos.
Goodbye.
Bye, nervous laughing, Cos.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Cos, everyone.
You tried.
Hello.
A little career seminar with Cos.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
That's a guy who really, I think, just by the fact that he listens to our show.
Loves the show, right?
Obviously tracks with us, listens every day. Mm-hmm. That guy wants to do something else in radio.
Sure, I mean, speak his mind, wants to get on the radio and do that every day.
Hello.
I'm calling to back up your wife.
Right, I don't think she's into that, though.
Well, no, not in that aspect. I got my dog neutered, and it's the best thing that ever happened to him. The first time his paw went out my gate, I nipped him at the bud.
All right, fantastic. She's another ball cutter.
Well,
let me see if I can translate. What she's saying is that dog was a runner, and he won't run around anymore. He cut off his testicles.
You got to stop them while they're young, and it brings them down to earth.
Right.
It makes them a good dog.
No, right. Just get a set of steak knives and take care of the whole neighborhood.
Like Barney said, you got to nip it in the bud.
Well, there is a time, there's a point in time. My husband Lee against it. All my other dogs got gone, or they got stolen, and they got gone.
I came out in the backyard, and he got gone.
Yes. I said, shoot.
You don't have to put a leash on them. They don't go anywhere. Now, there's been a few drawbacks. We've had to replace some doors.
Sure, what do you expect? You cut the poor dog's testicles off. Of course he's going to chew on your doors.
I can see when a puppy comes into your house, you hold the puppy up to your face and you say,
now listen, pee in the carpet, scratch the screen door, you get gone. And you get gone fast.
There's definitely no intimacy in the house.
Very nice. So, congratulations.
But is there any intimacy?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Goodbye. He's used to it now, so.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Dog ball killer.
Hello, I'm the program director for Cos. Cos, it's time for you to get gone.
Hello. Yeah, that guy Cos will be neutered today by his PD.
Oh, boy.
What were you doing on that show? The things that they said.
What were you possibly thinking? And then he would respond like he did to us, going,
yeah. Hello.
Hello, Don, Mike, Buzz.
Hey, oh, hold on, we got to do a break. Hold on, we'll be right back.
WJFK.
We might be able to get one other person in before we wrap it up this afternoon. You're up next. Good afternoon. You're on.
Good afternoon, folks. I have a question for Mr. Chisti. The comparison...
Chisti. C-H-I-S-T-I.
Oh, Christ. That's
yes.
Sorry. Yeah, the comparison of Irish Americans in the 19th century to African Americans in this century, I think is interesting because one of the greatest Irish Americans that's ever lived, the founder of the Irish National Constabulary, Michael Marrow, also the inventor of V-neck pants, I think he's one of the greatest Americans alive, and I think that illegal immigrants these days contribute to society in that if they were not here, Buzz Burbank would not have such a great, luxurious toupee on his crotch.
Come on.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don? How you doing? The Don and Mike Show.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I'm not a sir.
Ma'am.
Thank you. I have a question.
Go ahead, sir.
I have a friend who just came out of the closet.
Yes, sir.
Who is a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
What was that? What was that, sir?
She wants to know how one finds other lesbians. I mean, is there like
the only way.
Communication? You are
the only way.
Authorities, right?
The only way to find a fellow lesbian sister is through our show.
Okay, well, your callers will call in, I'm sure, and let us know.
I would think after listening to the show for a while, a man like you would know that.
I'm a lesbian.
Do I really sound like a man?
Yes, you do, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, sir.
But really, you've got to help me out. She's professional.
Hold on.
Long ashes to you, General.
Hold on, Mr. Clean. Hold on a second. Question. First, let's establish one fact.
Uh-huh.
Is it you, or do you really have a friend?
I really have a friend. I don't even like sex with men, let alone with women.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess. I mean, you know, whatever floats your boat, sir.
Listen, then have your friend call us.
No, she doesn't listen to you. She's much too
conservative. Oh, then screw her.
Yeah, don't call again, pal.
Screw her. Thank you, Baldy. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You are on the air.
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
What happened to your Broncos, man? To your Packers?
Oh, listen.
Your opening line. You know, you have all that time to wait. You wait for your opportunity, and you screw it up. The most important part of the line, and you say, hey, Don, what happened? And you say Broncos.
My bad.
You're bad.
So what happened to him?
Are you kidding? The Packers suck.
Of course they do.
I call it
Reggie White.
I will call it.
Was he shooting in a soup commercial?
Call it like it is. The Broncos really outplayed the Packers.
And what about
they deserve to win the game. They deserve to win the game.
Gilbert Brown.
Pardon me?
What happened to that freak Gilbert Brown?
That freak?
Yeah, he's a freak.
You mean the big fat guy?
Yeah, that fool.
Are you from Mexico?
Yeah, I'm from Mexico.
I just gathered that. Yes.
Bueno Arbusto. Bueno Arbusto. Bueno Arbusto.
Buenos culos.
Remember that guy from Mexico we talked to who said good bush?
Yes, good bush.
Good bush.
Well, sir, you are correct. I am just glad that I didn't do as I informed our millions of listeners to do and bet everything on Green Bay.
Green Bay. Well, I hope you have a nice off-season, man.
Are you a...
Hey, call Gilbert Brown and tell him to mix the thousand salads to his, man.
All right, listen, so hold on, son. Listen, speak English, Chewy. What are you saying there?
Que como está tu rabo?
Now, come on.
Tu culo?
Speak American.
Como está tu culo?
Are you a big Broncos fan?
Sí, a mí me gustan los burros.
Why is that?
A mí me gustan los burros.
Are all Mexican Americans as obnoxious as you are?
I thought all Mexicans were Dallas Cowboy fans.
Of course. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan,
all right? All right. See, I knew it. Mexicans love the Cowboys.
You know, that's it. It's the Cowboy fans that really hate the Packers.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you didn't know, the Packers are Dallas' bitch.
That's right. See, Mexicans love Dallas. They love the Cowboys.
Amamos a Dallas.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you,
Chewie.
Bueno Arbusto.
Bueno Arbusto.
Right. Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye-bye, my friend.
Bye-bye.
That's right. And Mexicans love the Cowboys.
You know, my brother-in-law is a big, big Cowboy fan, and I was wondering why he was so passionate about the Packers going down.
Mike, I am so glad the Packers are losing this game.
Yes, of course he is.
You never saw that show.
Mexican-Italian.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Don and Mike Show. Hello, we're doing great.
You guys are cool. I'm glad you're back, and I hope Bart gets better.
Oh, thanks. He's doing great.
But you know that idiot that just called? Tell him to shut up, stupid.
You didn't like the guy that was calling about the Packers?
He was an idiot.
Listen, buddy. Buddy, there's no bigger Packers fan here than me, but they lost. They suck.
Hey,
they deserve to lose the game. Come on, give it up. Do you have a right in the team? I mean, if you own the team, I could understand being so upset.
Yeah.
You're just a fan. Let it go, man.
You know, and they had it last year. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they won it the year before. I think it gets to be an overkill, Dave.
It's a drought on championship, Dave.
I think most of America was glad to see John Elway get it before he retires. Yeah. That was kind of cool.
I don't like John Elway. I know we're on in Denver, but I don't like John Elway. He's a big goof. Not to mention the fact that... Thank you, my friend.
Would that be the only reason you don't like John Elway is that he's a big goof?
Well, does anybody remember back when he originally was drafted by the Baltimore Colts?
Oh, yeah, he
when
stiffed them.
He had a little pissy fit, and he said, I'm not going to play football unless you trade me. A dick. I got to be the one guy that hates John Elway, Mike.
Because of that?
Mainly because everybody right now loves John Elway, and sure. I like being...
the one guy that goes against the flow. So I'll hate him.
You know, there was a neighbor of mine that was watching the game with me, Chris. I had a lot of different emotions there. He also was rooting for Green Bay for that reason alone, that he just didn't like John Elway. There was something about John Elway that he didn't like.
And it's not even that thing with Baltimore. All kind of a pricky thing to do to say
well,
you're not going
to go
somewhere.
Well, it turned out to be a good move on his part, because shortly thereafter, the Colts moved in the dead of night to Indianapolis. Remember when the owner took him out and stole him from the city?
And there will be some Baltimoreans that will call and say that Elway had something to do with
that. That he was the reason. That if he had gone to
if
play.
If he had stayed, they might have stayed in Baltimore. But I don't even
You're not one of those people, though.
No, I just have a general dislike for John Elway.
Uh-huh.
Just a general dislike.
Would it be his goofiness?
Yes.
Yeah.
His big teeth.
His goofiness.
His big fleshy lips.
He may run for Congress now.
Well, good. There's a spot open. Let him go up against Sonny Bono's wife.
Oh, God.
But I don't know why I don't like John Elway.
Well, you're also a Packer fan. You got a big history with the Packers.
Yeah, but the Broncos deserved to win.
Yes, they did.
I have no problem with that. I was just upset that, you know, this one's for John.
Yeah.
You know, listen, John has got like 8 car dealerships and owns half the goddamn state of Colorado. I don't know why everybody wants to get this one for John.
All the money in the world isn't as much as that ring.
And listen, I'll make that trade in a second. I'll take all the money in the world and you can keep your Super Bowl ring.
They all love
their
rings.
I'll take the money.
They love their rings.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Didn't you see them all wearing their rings in the pregame shows? All the guys that had the rings. Even Joe Gibbs. And on Joe Gibbs' skinny little hand now, I mean, it looks like an anvil.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
You are on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're not the only one who thinks they're a baby. He's a big baby.
Who is? Oh, Elway.
Elway, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Why is he a baby, sir?
Don't you remember when he first came?
Are you having a little trouble getting oxygen?
Are you breathing through your nose or your mouth?
Huh?
Sounds like, you know, before every answer comes up.
This is an asthma man, is it?
Asthma man.
Inhale a man.
He simply couldn't handle it.
Folded.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Phil out in Sioux City. What says you don't like John Elway?
You know what I like most about John Elway?
What?
When he does that commercial where he goes, I-29.
They're playing bingo?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I can dislike John Elway. It's a free country.
A lot of people don't feel strongly about John Elway in the positive.
You know, John Elway is one of the best quarterbacks ever played a game.
Right.
I've known the man since I was 17 years old, playing
known
high school football with him.
Wait a minute, like you're a friend of his?
That's right.
Like a good friend? Have you been to his house?
Yep.
In Denver?
Yep.
He ever give you any money?
Nope.
See?
What was the last time you went to his house as a friend? Like to go to a party?
To party? Well, he don't party, but the last time I was at his house was last summer.
He don't party?
Nope. He don't party, Mike. Well, listen, I could dislike whoever I want to, and I just don't like John Elway.
What's the exact reason why?
What do you care? Yeah. I'm one guy in a country of 250 million.
Well, it seems like everybody knows 250 million don't like John Elway, though.
The beauty of it is that Don is not giving a good reason why he doesn't like John Elway.
I just don't like him. But that doesn't mean I don't like him.
Haven't you ever just not liked a person for no reason?
No, he's got to have a reason.
Joe Jacoby, former lineman with the Washington Redskins.
He never liked us.
He gives no reason why he doesn't like us. He actually was asked, what is the reason you don't like them? And he said,
I don't know.
No reason.
No reason.
Mm-hmm. No reason.
Right. I got no reason. I don't. And listen, John Elway's life will go on. I guess the reason that I'm a little caught up in this is I hate everybody that has to work for a living. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody really has to bust their butt saying, oh, hope John gets this one. This one is for John. Listen, John's got the charmed life, okay? If John wants it, John can go find some out-of-work football player who's become a drug addict who will sell him his ring.
Well, you know.
Yeah, go cry for John at one of his 8 car dealerships.
Well, you know, he no longer has those car dealerships. He sold them.
I know. He sold them to Wayne Huizenga, another real good guy who I also don't like.
I have
a hard time feeling sentimental for a guy who's got everything in the world.
Well,
and you were also a Packer fan.
Well, yeah, all right, I'm a Packer fan.
That's the biggest reason you're a Packer fan.
No, I don't like, but I didn't like Elway even before.
No, you didn't like John Elway before that.
Right.
But I see, I think for people that didn't have strong feelings either way, mm-hmm. the emotion of the game was because, you know, here's a guy at the end of his career that's lost and lost and lost, and because he was going to win, you know, that's what
great.
Got people excited.
So now he'll go out and he'll buy another car dealership. Good for John.
Well, they're all rich.
I feel good for John. Yeah, but he's one of the richest, though, Mark.
Yes,
I mean, they're all rich.
Don, I understand your bitterness.
I give them that. He's the richest.
He's one of the super richest.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Brian from Herndon Fairfax. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. You're dissing my Broncos, babe. You're just mad because the Green Bay Packers had all that talk for the last 2 weeks and they got spanked.
Listen, this is like a stupid sports show. If you want to talk about Elway and why I don't like him, I'll do that. But don't bring all this sports junk into it.
Yeah.
Come on, let's keep it personal. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
Don, no sports talk, but you gotta have one thing right about the Elway situation. When John wouldn't go to Baltimore,
instant disqualification. I've already covered that facet of the story, sir. Yeah.
It was a great game. We can all agree that it was a great game.
No doubt about it. And I'm giving the Broncos their due.
Sure.
They played better. I said the Packers sucked.
You know, really, if you're going to talk about John Elway specifically about that game, you got to look at the real reason they won that game, and that was Terrell Davis.
Right.
It was not John Elway. John Elway has had a lot better games. I'm not sure a lot better Super Bowls, but he's had lots of better games. He was underthrowing almost every receiver he went to, and it was Terrell Davis that won that game for the Broncos.
But he didn't play as retarded as Brett Favre.
Brett Favre had one of his Navy games.
Back to his hillbilly roots. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. At least Brett Favre doesn't have 8 car dealerships, though.
Yeah. I know. That's a good reason to be bitter, too. I mean, 8, and then he just sold them for, like, millions.
I will like Elway if he sends me some money. Send me some of your money, John.
How much cash would it take for John Elway to win you over?
Yeah. $100.
$100 cash.
I'm a cheap son of a bitch.
Really?
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
And an autographed football. Hello.
Hello, boys.
I might hate him, but I would love his autograph.
Of course.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
He's a major star.
Hey, you guys haven't addressed how Elway's dad gravy-trained a job on the team.
Well, all right. You're right about that.
I will tell you that...
I don't like his dad either.
It is my opinion that you have tapped into something here.
Yeah.
There is an underlying Elway hatred. There are people out there.
But let's not hate his dad. Although his dad was one of those Joe Jock guys that like had him throwing a football.
It was so sad. It wasn't sad. It was tears of joy. But I felt really great when the close-up of his father at the end of the game, they showed a slow-motion thing where he put his head in his hands. I mean, for a father, my God, your son wins the Super Bowl.
Anyway, you know what he said? A lot of people still hate you. Congratulations. Buy a Mazda dealership. Why don't you throw some money my way and Mom's way?
And then sell it to H. Wayne Huizenga.
Mom still needs money for that operation. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, just, I got a Clinton joke for Don Mike.
A Clinton joke?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Is that a Clinton joke or a Clinton joke?
A Clinton joke.
Clinton joke.
What's the difference between Bill Clinton and the Titanic?
Oh, I know. Go down with that. Captain goes down with the ship.
No.
It's something like that.
Boo!
Hello.
Boo!
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I just wanted to back up your theory that you don't have to have a reason to dislike people.
Sure, just like, you know what? Hold on, let me give another one.
That's true. I agree with that.
I hate the Titanic.
I love the Titanic.
I don't know anybody that doesn't love that goddamn movie.
That movie is now going to be down in history as one of the biggest successes, one of the greatest
what
box
do people
office
know?
Successes in the history of cinema.
What do people know?
I have not spoken to one person that has gone to see the movie that has not liked the movie.
I don't have the time to waste on it, Mike. And you know what I heard in San Diego?
Why don't you go with John Elway to that movie?
You know what drove me crazy in San Diego?
What's that?
One of the radio stations had taken... The song, that ridiculous, annoying Celine Dion song, and they have taken clips from the movie like they did with Jerry Maguire.
Right.
So she's singing, "Where is my love?" And then you hear, "Oh, my God, the ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. Where is my love? Kiss me now. We're going over the edge." Oh, God. It's mad, man. It's mad. Don't like Elway. Don't like Titanic.
Don, Mike, I got a question.
Yes.
Are you guys in Memphis, Tennessee?
No.
Oh, bummer. I'm moving there.
Sorry.
Hello.
Sorry.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
A good 10 years.
Thank you.
I am not used to you paddling upstream like this. I am not used to this. Going up against the rapids here. Yeah. You got the Titanic and you got the Super Bowl quarterback.
Don't like them. But listen, they'll go on and prosper even though I don't like them.
Of course they will. They already have.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling to bash John Elway.
Here we go. See, you've got a groundswell of support.
Okay.
Four Super Bowls. He hasn't had a good game in any one of them.
No. I told you, you got to make it personal.
Yeah.
Can't just hate him like he had some bad football games.
Got to be about his teeth. It's better. Well, it's actually even better if it's not personal at all. Mm-hmm. If it's simply, I don't like him. And then you don't give any reason.
I just don't like him. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Don, Mike. How are you doing? Buzz, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Don, I got a little bit of a problem.
What's the problem, buddy?
Like, you're trashing these guys because they're making millions of dollars, right?
No, I'm trashing one guy, John Elway.
Trashing one guy.
John Elway.
Okay. Now, I have my point being here, you are on a major radio station in a major market.
Right.
You're on stations across the country.
Correct.
4 million listeners.
Correct.
They're not paying you chicken scratch.
No, they're not.
You're making a lot of money.
Listen, but
you're a rich guy.
Stop. Hold on a second.
What?
First off, how do you know how much money I make?
I have no earthly idea.
Okay.
I just figured 4 million listeners, even if they're paying you, I have 50 cents a listener.
God, I wish I got 50 cents a listener. Okay? All right. So, number two.
Okay.
I've been working my ass off in this business for 25 years. I went through
15. You deserve it.
Hold on. I went through 15 years of making nothing.
Right.
Before I even made like $200 a week.
Okay.
I don't belittle anybody. It's the American system. I'm telling you, though, this guy, John Elway, here's my point.
Okay.
The guy makes a gazillion dollars. The guy
makes more money, so much, and he's going to make a lot more now.
The guy signs his name on anything to whore himself out to sell it, and he owns 8 goddamn car dealerships, and it rings wrong with me when I hear people saying, oh, I feel so bad for John Elway. All he needs to make his life complete is to win a Super Bowl. Oh, come on. Kiss my ass.
He could buy a ring.
Kiss my ass.
A ring company. He could buy a ring.
I would like to get 10 cents a listener. Okay? Thank you.
You know, you're a big guy now.
You're right. I'm very successful, but I'm not as successful as John Elway.
And you have told me in confidence that the only thing you really want, even with the success of this show, you just want a ring. And a nice diamond, a big, big diamond, like a 4-carat diamond.
I want a pinky ring, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Let's get rings for everybody.
Hey, cool.
Bob, tell Cannon to go out and get some Cracker Jacks.
Hello.
Hi, you guys are so cool.
Thank you.
You're just making my afternoon. I just wanted to agree with everything you've just said. I want to agree with the Titanic song sucks.
Oh, wait, hold on. Here's somebody who... No, but you have to agree with everything that I said.
Everything.
Agree with everything.
Do you hate the movie?
I hate the movie.
Have you seen the movie?
No, but I...
Of course you haven't seen
the
movie.
Good for you.
Way to go.
Good for you. Bully. But listen, for every person that's enlightened like you and me, there's like...
I can tell from the clips I don't like it.
There's 50 million more
that's
like
fine.
Mike that love Titanic.
We have not seen the light. We have not seen the light. And uh-oh. I don't know, I'm getting all cloudy just thinking about that Super Bowl victory with John Elway. And I loved it. I got all buttery when I went to see the Titanic. What's wrong with me?
I pity the fool that likes Titanic.
I pity the fool.
Do you know something? We are planning to go see the Titanic again.
Are you?
We're planning to go see it a second time. 3 hours worth, we're gonna go see it a second time.
Really, now listen to yourself. You're a guy who has to take your time away.
Yes.
When you get to take your wife out, just you
right.
and your wife.
It doesn't happen very often with babysitters.
Right.
It's a very special time.
And you're going to take special times, and
yes.
you're going to waste it seeing the same movie about a ship where you already know what is going
to
happen.
I knew what was going to happen when I went to see it the first time.
Boring.
I agree.
Boring.
I agree with everything.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, listen, there's plenty on your side, Mike.
Oh, I know there are. I mean,
listen, I read a thing in the paper
money.
That movie's made like $300 million. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's going to be, it's like heading down the road towards being one of the most successful of all time.
I wish John Elway was on that boat. I would go see Titanic
if John Elway
died in that movie.
If he was the captain.
If he drowned.
And the instead of having like all the poor people down in steerage on the ship, it was filled with John Elway's car dealership cars.
Yeah, I know it even better. If John Elway could have made it to the top, if he could have swum out, except he couldn't because he had so many keys from all of his car dealership,
yeah.
and the keys were weighting him down.
Dragging him down.
Giving him the bends.
And then people were breaking off his teeth, you know, to float on. I get a tooth. Get a tooth.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. Hey, Mike. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Speaking of car dealerships, I work at a car dealership, and I go to the Fredericksburg Auto Auction every Thursday, and I see Joe Jacoby there. And I was wondering if you want me to ask Joe Jacoby why the heck he doesn't like you.
No, you know, we both had the opportunity to speak to Joe Jacoby in person.
Yeah, we shake hands with him. It's funny. It's, you know, I got to...
little hint for you. It is kind of funny. You know, first and foremost, it's not something that we're really concerned about.
We really don't want to be friends with Joe Jacoby. I mean, we did at one point like 5 years ago.
We were desperate 5 years ago, and that's why we sent him all the flowers.
Well, okay, well, but maybe he just doesn't want to say it to your face, but I could find out the real scoop if you want.
Yeah, just tell him Don and Mike send lots of love.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
I wish he liked us.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I don't like Brett Favre, you know, for the same reason you don't like John Elway. Here's a guy that's a three-time MVP making millions and millions of dollars, and what does he do? He buys a double wide and moves it onto his property, and that's what he moves his family into?
Listen, you're gonna not be a fan of Brett Favre because he's maintaining his hillbilly roots. You know, he's not taking those schmucks in Green Bay for every cent they got opening up car dealerships and stuff. I don't begrudge any sports guy that makes a ton of money. It's just the guys that make too much money and the guys that flaunt it. I mean, let's be honest. It's just John Elway. It's just John Elway. That's all it is.
I know. I think it's a little bit of what you're saying, that when you get all that money for playing football and then you just got to go to the well and be the mega businessman on top of
it. You know, and you can be like Oprah. Oprah makes more money than anybody in the world put together. And yes, she does piss me off with her book club, but at least she's not selling cars.
No, she's not out there with the Oprah. Boy, would those cars sell, though?
Oh, yeah.
Car of the Month Club.
Hello.
I join.
Hello.
Those cars would have to be big Cadillacs, right, for Oprah? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Hey, Don, Mike.
That was a brilliant point you just made, sir.
Thank you,
sir. A fantastic line and a great joke. Yes,
sorry,
going back to the early 60s stereotype that
was
all black people drive Cadillacs. Way to go, buddy.
Don.
Is that a stereotype from the early 60s? I thought he was making a joke about her being so fat. Oh, really? Were you making a joke about blacks driving Cadillacs?
No,
yes,
not.
You were. I know what you were doing, sir.
No.
Either way, he's trying to change the subject. It's exactly what he was doing.
That was just a stereotype I'd never heard of before.
Well, because if it was going to be just a fat joke as far as cars are concerned, it would be the Caprice Classic.
Or Pontiac, right?
Yeah, right.
No, if you hate Elway so much, why did you try so desperately to get him on your fantasy football team?
Because I didn't want Mike to have him.
Oh, that all.
And I traded John Elway to Don late in the season when my season was gone.
And I didn't play him.
You didn't play him.
I sat him on my bench. Right. I just took him out of commission.
And that's that's why I like John Elway, because he won some games for me during fantasy football league.
Hello. You know, the funniest thing at the whole Super Bowl was Irving Fryer was standing about 5 feet from us, and Mike wanted to go introduce himself as Irving Fryer's owner. That's nice. Why don't you go tell him you're his master?
But, you know, any football player at the Super Bowl, they're so surrounded you can't get near them, and I really wanted to go up there and say, hey, you won me a lot of money in fantasy football.
I'm your owner.
No, that was Charles Broyhill who had that idea to walk up and say I'm his owner.
Hello.
Hey,
Don and Mike show.
Hi, total agreement. Total agreement.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm glad you like Titanic.
Thank you. I'm glad you hated Titanic. Which side of the fence are you on?
We call him Horseface.
Oh, about Elway?
Yeah.
Right.
And look under the dictionary, under the word choke, and there's two people, Elway and Nancy Kerrigan. Two of them.
Oh, my God.
Same deal.
Meow. The land of the big tooth person.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Titanic. How many more movies are we going to see with the same ending? It's even factual.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
Good woman.
Good woman.
Not even.
The not theaters to hate it.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right. I think we've about exhausted the topic of Elway and Titanic.
It's amazing how we were able to meld those two into one issue.
We'll be right back.
WJFK.
Uncle June, how was Boca?
Wonderful. I don't go down enough.
That's not what I heard.
About what?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Last time, Aunt Bobby bought me live piranha.
You believe that was a piranha? Come on.
That woman is not your aunt.
Livia, I warned you. Not that she. Bobby's a sweet, sweet girl.
What the hell's the matter with you?
What did I say? This wife of yours, she's got the giggles.
Can I make excuse?
We just sat down.
How are you going to play tomorrow? You don't eat.
He's right, Meg. You need protein.
No, I don't, because I quit.
You quit? What are you talking about? With Ali back, you can go to the state.
A girl slits her wrists, and all you can think about is a game?
Well, it wasn't like friggin' Cobain. It was just a little suicidal gesture, that's all.
The Don and Mike Show.
Bow to their capricious whims. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Are all of these calls about that?
Wow.
I'd like to move past that because we have... Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Are there more important things to get to? Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good. Hey, love you guys. But I gotta agree with Mike. Titanic's great, and so is Elway.
Well, you know, I'd like to qualify that I love Titanic, and I put myself on the line for Titanic. This Elway issue. Listen, I like the fact that he won the Super Bowl. That's where it ends. I didn't care, really.
Thank God.
I didn't know. I was not.
John. Oh, John. John, you are my friend.
Oh, God, that owner. And would someone please tell that owner to stop wearing those full-length leather jackets?
And who's the wife? Is that a wife? A girlfriend? Who was the blonde up on the podium with him?
That's got to be, I would guess that's wife number three.
Wife number three. She was the classic trophy wife that was up there.
Just a guess, of course, on my part. Okay, now listen.
Yes.
Yes, hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Well, listen, I got something no one's talked about yet in the Super Bowl. To me, the best part of the whole Super Bowl, the national anthem.
Yeah,
nice lip sync.
I didn't care about a lip sync. All I was worried about was Jewel and her jewels. Nice boosh.
You know, in my living room, the scuttlebutt around the room was that perhaps Jewel may have had some sort of augmentation.
We had that same thought sitting in the stands, Mike, that
she looked very large.
She looked breastier.
Yes, she did.
Than she had in the past.
I'm wondering whether it was a Wonder Bra, whether it was, you know, maybe Jewel had slipped back to Alaska to have some kind of augmentation.
I got in a discussion with a guy from New Jersey who was sitting next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Guy won a trip to the Super Bowl. He manages a Wawa store. That's
cool.
Like a, one of those 7-Eleven. Yeah, and they sell, I guess he sold the most Wawa carcass burgers or something in Europe in 1997 because he got a free trip there.
That's cool.
And he was commenting to me when we were watching Jewel. Thank you, Jewel. We were commenting about that, and he said, well, no, I was thinking about the he had the Jersey accent, and he was talking about Jewel's videos.
Jersey, what's it to you?
And the one video where she's laying on the ground and her clothes are like being kind of sucked off her.
Yeah, it's where the boyfriend or whatever, her former boyfriend was in the video with her, and she's got the sheer like silk top.
He maintained she had some kind of breast augmentation. And then a guy next to me from Philadelphia said he thought the same thing. And then some guy wearing a stupid Green Bay cat in a hat turned around and said, hey, we're here to watch the game, okay?
Oh, shut up.
Okay, stop talking about Jewel's boobs.
Hey, that's part of the whole equation there. That's what guys talk about.
Listen, we'll finish with the Super Bowl stuff real quickly, and in the next hour we'll play Can You Get to 10?
Excellent.
Laura Korn's supposed to call in at any moment. We'll give her our apology demands.
Okay.
Yeah. That's coming up. Oh, now, about the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Let me see. I didn't see you on Friday night because you went out with all the boys.
Went out with former intern, former guy around town, now native San Diegan, Jimmy the intern, Charles Broyhill, and Rob, the four amigos. We decided that we
great party.
We figured it would be a great time if we could figure out how long we could drive around in Jimmy's mother's car and not get anywhere. And the total time outlay, was it something along the hour, about an hour and 45 minutes, Rob, that we just drove around town getting nowhere? It was 10 hours.
Out of my way, I'm Hitler.
That didn't work. I was trying to tell Jimmy to say that, to actually get around. But you know something? At a certain point, I threw a little bit of a tantrum that involved pounding on the seat in front of me. Because Charles Broyhill, you know, Charles Broyhill, who's the kind of guy that he'll cut in front of you in line if you're in some kind of line in a cafeteria. He'll cut in front of you if you're in traffic.
Yeah.
And he'll also do that beeline where he cuts in front of you for the front seat of the car. So I was not able to assist Jimmy with my incredible navigational skills.
That's good.
So Charles Broyhill was in the front seat with Jimmy, and we were going to this party for CBS that apparently Charles Broyhill had gotten the information about, and that's the problem to start with when you've got Charlie getting information. And at one point I looked at Charlie, I said, did you write down where the party was? And Charlie said something like, and we ended up driving to this part, Coronado or some right. part of San Diego where you go over a causeway.
Right.
And Jimmy just didn't know what exits to take or where to go to get to these places. And then when he
and
would,
he had displayed a grasp of the of these basic elements of the 2 years he'd been on our show.
He had displayed a grasp of one thing, being in that automobile. That car, I will be amazed if he even made it back that night with the brakes intact, because he has.
I'm surprised you got into a car with him based on the fact. Well, Tracy, you seen him when he used to pull into the parking lot and almost kill people just pulling in the parking lot.
He has. There are guys that ride the brakes, and then there are guys that have a passionate love affair with their brakes that literally could not make any forward progress without being able at least one time during that 5 second period to slam on the brakes.
He makes love to his brake pad.
He would take an exit and I'd say, is that the right exit? Oh no, we have to make a U-turn. So he'd make the U-turn and then floor it and then slam on the brakes. I mean, to the point where you had to hold your neck so you didn't get whiplash. And then I look over at Charles Broyle and I say, God, you know, I'm holding my neck because I'm getting whiplash. Jimmy's like going, gas brake, gas brake, gas break all the way over this bridge, and I said, do you know where the party is? And Charlie just looked at me, kind of laughed and giggled, and then had one of his secret conversations that he has a million times on his little cell phone.
He loves a good secret conversation.
His conversation that goes something along the lines of, hi, hi, what? Yeah.
He might have been talking to me one of those times.
Hi.
You know, because I told him to call me if it looked like the CBS party was something that he thought I should go to.
Right. Yeah.
Because okay. I was undecided. Didn't want to bring Bart.
Oh, yeah, and maybe he was talking to you. Maybe because you guys do that, both that secret, that secret, like, decoder ring conversation.
Well,
like,
listen.
Like, hey, yeah, okay, yeah.
It's great to be a secret talker.
Right, yeah. Okay, ma'am. And that's when I knew he was talking to a guy. And so, yeah. And so I looked at him this time, and I'm looking at him, and I say this time, who are you talking to? Who was it? I want to know. And then he's just loving this because it's a secret conversation.
Right.
Then I said, where's the party? He's like, I don't know. Yeah. And so we drive for an hour, and we go over to Coronado, and we can't find this party. So that's an hour gone.
You know, I bet I was one of those calls. Because
there was only one call. He only made one call.
That would be me.
I knew he was talking to me.
Because I said, do you think I'm missing anything? And he said, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And then he said, you should see Mike.
I was starting to get, and it just got progressively worse and worse and worse. Because, first of all, we're on the way to that very exclusive commissioner's party, which is the big party the NFL throws, the exclusive party,
highly overrated,
for 5 million yeah. people, and you know, it's the toughest ticket in town. I've got a ticket to the party, so you can go in and be basically in a barn with a million other people waiting in line for food for an hour. And we didn't make it to the one party. We got to the other party and it wasn't any good, and so we decided, okay, let's leave, let's go out to where everybody is in this little gaslight district and just hang out, and that'll be fun. Well, we get into that district and we realize we can't see any restaurants, and all we see is this sea of people.
They had the whole downtown area blocked off.
And it looked like we couldn't determine whether things had ended or people were actually going to a party. That's how confusing it was. And then we all started walking back. It's determined we'll go back to Jimmy's car. And it was at that point that I was trying to, you know, I realized I had a very early flight to take the next day, and
yep.
I said to myself, walk back with Jimmy, get to Jimmy's car, Jimmy figuring out how to get out of the area, Jimmy dropping me off at hotel. I just did a conservative bit of math.
Mm-hmm.
I figured 12 hours
sure.
that would take. So I bid adieu, and I started walking down the street, and the three amigos continued on, and I walked up the other way and then got lost myself in this weird little area.
I know how you don't like to walk.
I started crying, and, you know, I mean, screaming crying, you know, where I'm looking at people going, please. And then I decided to take a cab, finally find a cab driver, and I get Bill Murray from Caddyshack, who is the cab driver, and this guy, if he was not totally wasted,
ooh,
I don't know what he was, because he was saying things like, yeah, he's pretty crazy with the cabs and everything.
Hold on, I got a cab story. I got a cab story. Please don't be offended, because I know that you've started a new trek in life.
Yes.
That you didn't drink on the trip out to Sacramento, so I hope I can tell you this.
Yes.
And tell you that when Bart and I got into a cab on Saturday night,
right,
we met a man in a cab who reminded me a lot of you in similar situations.
You mean a passenger or the cab driver?
Yeah, the passenger.
Oh, the passenger.
We were standing in line in front of the Marriott waiting to go back to our hotel, and it was so crowded, they had the whole downtown area roped off. They said, do you mind sharing a cab? This guy's going to the Holiday Inn. We said, sure. And he was an older guy, but he was having trouble standing.
He was staggering.
He'd had some fun. Mm-hmm. He had still on his tennis shorts.
Right.
And like a members only jacket. He didn't remind me of you in that way.
Okay, thank you.
He's much hipper than you.
Thank you. Yeah. That's so kind. You are too kind. And the man staggering into the cab reminds you. So then what happened?
All right, he got into the cab. And I've never seen you do this.
Yes.
But you've been known to be a little belligerent sometimes.
In a cab especially. Right. I will give you that. I sometimes, late in the evening, do not get along with cab drivers.
Okay, well, Barb was a little afraid of this guy. Right. I mean, he's kind of scary. Yeah. And I said, listen, don't worry, he's going to get in the front.
You know, when I've gone drinking with Bart, though, he has never once been frightened of me.
Very brave. I said, he'll get in the front and we'll get in the back. We get into the car, and the guy says, where to? Like, you know, he's like, Abu. And we said, Holiday Inn. And he says, okay. We pull out of the parking lot, and he says, he stops at the light, and he says, sir, you have to put on your seatbelt. And the guy turns.
In the back of the cab?
No, this guy's sitting in the front seat with him.
Oh, he's sitting in the front. Oh, well.
And the guy turns and he says, no. Okay?
Oh, dear.
And then the guy says, it is the law. Yeah. You have to put it on in California. Mm-hmm. And then the guy says, I think they're dangerous. I am not a seatbelt wearer. Yeah. I don't care if you get a ticket. And then at that point, the cab driver, he looks in the back seat, right? Uh-huh. And I say to him, well, you think I'm going to get in the front seat and put this guy in the back seat with my kid? Uh-huh. And then the cab driver says, well, all right, if you will be my witness that I asked him to put on his seatbelt and he would not put on the seatbelt.
See, there you go. Uh-huh. Okay, there you go, the cab driver. He's getting wrapped too tight.
Meanwhile, the guy's still sitting up there. Guy kind of looks like Ed Asner. Guy's sitting up there and he's going,
thank you again.
Seatbelt. I don't never wear a seatbelt. Uh-huh. Never wear a seatbelt. And then he's turning and goes, oh, young man, he's turning around. How old are you? Meanwhile, Bart's holding my hand and squeezing it a little bit. I'm answering the question.
Make the bad man go away, Daddy.
He's 12. So we're talking, and now we're driving.
He's 12, Arthur, and you are very drunk.
Now we're driving, and now the guy's just going, dum 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 dum, and I noticed that he's singing a song about not wearing his seat. He's actually singing. I'm not wearing my seatbelt. I'm driving in San Diego, not wearing a seatbelt. I swear to God. We get to a stoplight, and he says to Bart, young man! He turns around and he goes, have you seen the movie Top Gun? Bart looks at me, and I give him the nod. Yeah, you can answer him. He goes, yes. Do you remember when Tom Cruise is playing the piano? And I said, yes, we remember that. And he leans out, and he goes, that is where they filmed it. Yeah. Okay, because I guess it was the cafe where they filmed it. Right. And now the cab driver says, please put your arm back in the car, sir. And he gives him a look, and he goes,
oh, dear.
All right. Like the guy's asking him something that's an incredible problem. Please put your arm back in the car. So we're driving by, and then the guy says, you know, turns around again. Now he's looking at me. The guy that owns that bar, he's about to go bankrupt. Now he's got money by the bushel. He got bushels and bushels of money. He's got money. So we're driving on a little bit more. Now keep in mind, it's a 5-minute cab ride. We get out on that Harbor Freeway on that main road.
Yeah, the main drag.
And it's at that point that he turns around. This is how drunk this guy is. He turns around and he says, 2 minutes after he said that, he goes, young man, have you seen Top Gun?
Oh, no. Well, the cell that retained that was already destroyed.
And it was at that point we could see the hotel. And I said to the guy, hey, we'll just jump out here.
Right.
Yeah. But sir, there is your hotel right there. I said,
that's where you always get to.
Listen, we're gonna just jump out here.
It is the law. I have to take you to where you live.
And as we got out of the car, I heard the conversation where he was trying to tell the guy, now he had to get in the back seat if he didn't want to wear the seatbelt.
Oh, boy.
And I heard the guy again, I don't like seatbelts. I ain't wearing a seatbelt.
And they stayed in the cab together.
Yeah, they did.
That's amazing.
And he drove them down the six blocks. And then when we walked down to the hotel, then we saw them standing.
where have you guys been?
Have you seen the movie Top Gun?
And anyway, that was our ride in the cab.
No, I'm glad I reminded you of that.
Well, just for the cab driver.
Just the cab driver.
On occasion.
Yeah, well, the cab drivers, it wasn't just the passengers that had been drinking, because this guy, I swear to God, and it was really a five-minute cab ride. It was a short cab ride, but I was just a little concerned because he was adjusting something, and I don't know what it was, but it was in the front seat, and it was on his right side.
Ooh.
I think it was something in the seat next to him, or it could have been himself, but he was adjusting for the entire 5 minutes, and when he's talking, hello, Mrs. Craig, Mrs. Abigail.
You're hiding from me.
Never had the guts to ask him what he was adjusting, but was very anxious to get out of the cab. So we actually had a pretty rotten time in San Diego on Friday night.
Oh, well, we had a great day. Bart and I were sitting out on the balcony of our hotel playing gin rummy.
There you go.
All night long.
I should have stayed in the hotel. You know, it was just me and Spectrovision.
We will be right back.
WJFK.
Rob, this is Legion Sheen. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number? I'm kind of serious about this, you know. I can dish it and take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again, I'm liable to go to the president of WJFK and file a complaint against you. You don't want that for a Christmas present, right? Have a nice day, Turkey.
The Don and Mike Show.
National Treasures. Don and Mike.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
I just heard a story about Rudy that he got a really nice Packers jacket in Tijuana.
Do you know that he seriously wanted Bart and I to go with him to Tijuana on Saturday morning?
That does not surprise me. Rudy, Rudy's judgment sometimes is a little suspect.
I don't know if it was for the $17 donkey show or if it was just to take the trolley over there.
Yeah. Hey, Bart, you know, I can just see him walking down the streets of Tijuana. Today, you are a man.
You know, he said to Bart, you ever been to Tijuana? Has your dad ever taken you to Tijuana?
Like, that's where you would go. You know, listen, we got San Diego Zoo. We're very excited about it. And then it's right down to Tijuana.
How you doing? So if Rudy calls in, we'll put him on at some point. And Laura Korn, still supposed to call in and apologize. And, you know, if she doesn't call today to tell us what television show she will apologize to us on, perhaps we'll just turn a deaf ear whenever she does call in.
I think that's a good idea. I think, really, I mean, if somebody was trying to get back in the favor of the show, then she should be a little more punctual.
Okay, so listen, let me finish up with the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So Mike and all the guys go out Friday. Bart and I stayed in the room and played cards, got up Saturday, and then we were off to the NFL experience, me and Bart and Broyhill. Okay? And a lot of people thought that I was there with my two sons.
That doesn't surprise me.
They really did.
I knew that that Charlie has never been to this, and I knew he is one of the biggest football fans, and I know your son was going nuts, so it was you, the veteran, and then the two guys that were probably really jacked about it.
Yeah, and you know how crowded the NFL experience always is?
Right.
Well, they had a special open time of like 8 o'clock in the morning for Coca-Cola, where they had a bunch of their clients and junk like that.
Right.
So we crashed that because we had the media credentials, which meant that we got to play all of the games without any lines.
Oh, that's great.
And it was really great. And you know who we met who was a very nice guy? Was the guy we had on the show, Trent Dilfer.
Quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right. We were standing waiting to catch a football. They got a punt return thing.
Right.
Have you seen those things where they got two tires that go round and round and they shoot a football way up in the air?
That's how they use to practice punt returns.
Right, so they had a couple of these things set up at this NFL experience and we were standing in line waiting.
You can do
it
for passes too. You can do it for pass simulation.
We're waiting to go up there and catch the football and Broyhill says, hey, that's Trent Dilfer right there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, really? I said, well, let's go see what he's doing.
Right.
And he wasn't being a dick or anything. He was just standing there.
Just hanging out?
Just hanging out. And so we went up to him and we said hi and he said, yeah, hey, how you doing? He got a little afraid, and we said we're from radio.
Right.
Because he got a whole thing going, I guess, with a morning zoo down in Tampa Bay that says that he sucks and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. He's into it with them pretty good.
So he was a nice guy, and he spent a lot of time with us. And I mentioned that, you know, I'd say hi to him today, and like he cares about it. But
good.
He's kind of a what's the word I want to use?
Hero.
Physically.
Lummox.
No. Husky.
He's chunky.
Thank you.
He's a little he looks a little chunky.
When Broyhill first said that's Trent Dilfer,
right?
I said, no way.
No, that's absolutely untrue. But
then it was him, so he's kind of chunky.
He was nice when he came on this show, too. It was a nice interview. And when I heard about him having troubles with other media people, I was very surprised because he strikes me as the kind of guy that's, you know, he's serious, but he's always seems to be a nice guy.
And I got
to
figure out what it is. Hey, anybody got the Bible? Any of you guys carrying a Bible with you?
I left mine in the car.
Because when he wrote his autograph out for Bart, he spent some time talking with him, and then he took it back, and he wrote back some passage from the Bible.
Hmm. Like John 3:16
or something
like that?
Yeah, it was something that had the numbers with the dot after it. And we were all, you know, at first he walked away and we were looking at it like, what does this mean? Yeah, like, you know, he might as well have drawn in Japanese, drawn the little pictures going up and down. We couldn't figure out what it is. So I will decipher that from the Bible and let you know what he wrote.
Usually some people put little passages which are just the main tenets of their born-again faith or whatever it is.
So we went over to the NFL Experience, had a great time, spent the day at that blocked-off area in San Diego where you guys were.
Right.
Saturday night, chilled out in the hotel room, and then Sunday at Super Bowl Sunday.
Big day.
Okay, so we're in the car. We decide we're going to drive to the stadium. It's me and Broyhill and Bart.
Right.
And we got about 2 miles from the stadium, 3 hours before the game, and that's when it just started with the cars just being packed, five lanes, and not moving. The closer we inched to the stadium, we started seeing guys walk through the crowds going, parking pass, parking pass. And one of them walked by the car, and I said, say, young man, how much for that pass? And he said, $100. And I said, get out of town. See you later.
Yeah.
Chump.
Get out of here.
Okay. Then we inch up. About an hour later, we got maybe a half mile up the road, and then we see on the big San Diego Stadium sign, where it says, you can only park at the stadium if you have a parking pass.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to be shuffled over the 5 highway.
Oh, boy.
And you got to take a shuttle bus to the stadium.
Be a long day.
Right? So now it's my quest. Now I got all these stupid parking passes.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's getting very tense because we're almost to the part where the cop is either going to let us into the parking lot or not, and we don't have it yet. Guy comes up to the car, and he says, parking pass? And I said, yes, yes, how much? And he says, $75. And I said, no.
Couldn't do it. Yeah, I mean, as much as you want that good parking, it's tough to spend that money.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and Broyhill's going, oh, come on, you suck. Buy it. We don't want to walk all that way. And Bart was saying, Dad, I don't want to take a shuttle bus.
Yeah.
Like, $75. Now, keep in mind, like I mentioned, the whole time.
It's amazing.
You got a guy, there was one guy dressed like Uncle Sam, who was walking up and down in between the cars with $5,000 in his hand.
Wow.
$5,000 bill. You had guys walking with the money fanned out like the great Wazzini or whatever, some magician's name.
That last
the
minute.
Great Baldini.
Baldini.
I mean, like, you know when a magician does like a card fan?
A fan, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Guys were walking around with money like this. They walk up to the car with a $1,000 bill and say,
to get tickets.
Do you have a ticket?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Now we're getting very close. Very close. And at that point, I crumbled. Because now I see the cops are moving people over the 5 highway to where you got to take a shuttle bus.
And it's going
to
be either get right in or like an hour later.
Yeah, or forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I see a guy coming by, and I'm still maintaining. I'm not going to pay $100 for this thing.
Right. Yeah.
So as I'm waiting in line, I'm haggling with a guy about how much I'm going to pay for a parking pass that has a printed price on it of $10.
Yeah.
I say to the guy, where did you get this? He says, downtown. You could buy them downtown. I said, well, I'm coming to the game, and nobody told me I needed a pass to get into the stadium parking lot. Well,
that's a scam, man. That is a decent scam.
So you had guys who went downtown San Diego, bought, 10 or 12 of these parking passes, came back and made like 15 times the money.
Sure.
So I'm haggling with the guy. As I'm pulling up, I'm 2 cars away, and I'm still haggling with the guy.
Right.
He says 50. And I say, 40. 50. We're getting closer. 40. It's like playing a game of chicken with this guy.
Yeah, he knows he's got you.
And now I'm up to the point where the cop is going to say, right-hand turn into the stadium, left-hand turn, go on the bus.
Right.
I said, ah, son of a bitch, $50.
$50.
$50 I had to pay for parking.
Most expensive parking ever.
More than going to the Capitol Center to see a bullet.
That's right.
And then once we got into the parking lot, we discovered, hey, no more places left.
Oh, no.
So we had to double park against the wall.
So you paid $50 for the privilege of double parking.
Right, with a big sign right next to where we parked where it says, your car will be towed.
Oh, my God.
Well,
will live dangerously.
It's a rental car.
So at that point, we're going to split up from Broyhill. Because we have tickets, and
right.
He has like a press pass to get in.
Right.
So we say, if the game is close, just come out right after the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a blowout, if either team is winning by more than 10 points with 10 minutes left, mm-hmm. that's when you leave.
Good code.
Okay?
Yeah.
So here's the problem. As you get towards the stadium, they had a bunch of gates, A, B, C, D, E, F, G,
right.
except the gates themselves, those big metal screen type things,
right.
were not open. They had a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had was thousands of people trying to get into a doorway.
Same people that were paying for the parking that actually want to cram themselves in there right now. People getting a little testy, I would imagine.
Right. We were supposed to go in gate E. When we got to gate G, we said, what is this line for? And they said, we're in line for gate E.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like 2 miles of line. I said to Bart, listen, this is just like if you're in traffic when they've got the big arrow that says you have to merge in because of a work area.
Right.
I always go right up to the very front and push my way in.
Oh.
And this is what we did.
Right.
We got all the way up front, and I said, just hold on to me. Hold on to me. Here we go. Coming through. Excuse me. Coming through.
Press. Nervous waiter. Hot coffee.
Coming through. Made it all the way to the front. Made it inside the stadium. But as you were making your way up there, and even as you got into the stadium,
right.
they had an annoying recorded Dick Enberg voice.
Hi there.
Yeah, where it said, hi. This is Dick Enberg from NBC Sports. We are going to try to get you into the stadium as quickly and courteously as we can today. And it's at this point that people are revolting.
Yeah.
Because you got people been standing out there for 2 hours to make it through a doorway. And every 10 seconds, this thing is repeating on the speakers. Hi, this is Dick Enberg from NBC Sports.
Shut up!
And then they finally switched it. After playing the one over and over again that said, we're going to get you to the stadium. Then they switched it to one that said, you can't bring in guns.
Mm-hmm.
Knives, bottle rockets.
You can't bring in guns?
Or firecrackers.
You can't bring in guns. I'm not going to the game.
So they played that one over and over again. We finally got inside. We had end zone seats, and we were close enough to see Blackie Parrish playing the air drums with the Beach Boys.
Very exciting.
Which was just ridiculous.
John Stamos, the talented, the multi-talented John Stamos.
And that was a lip sync, like everything was a lip sync.
Right.
Then the game happened. Oh, at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
This is the funniest part of the Super Bowl.
Was it as bad in person as it was on the TV?
I don't know, because they gave us in the crowd,
uh-huh.
they give you, they look, to say, look under your seat.
So they can do the Honor America big production number.
Right, and basically what this is, it's a way to make sure that everything doesn't get clogged up at halftime.
Right.
They figure out a way to keep all the stupid fans in the seats.
Oh. I'm going
to
be part of the TV show, Mr. Clean!
So during all the commercial breaks, Phil Hartman would come on the big screen and he'd say, now we're going to practice the audience stunt. Look into the packet under your seat and pull out the black piece of cardboard.
Oh.
And listen, this was so screwed up. And what they wanted to do was, as they got a shot of the stadium, they wanted it to look like a big record, like a 33 and a third record.
Sure.
So on cue, people were supposed to turn their pieces of cardboard from the black side to the white side.
So they can get a good blimp shot.
There's no way that people did this correctly. Everybody was doing it wrong. Not to mention the fact that they gave half the people in the crowd a red hanky and the other half in the crowd a yellow hanky.
Mm-hmm.
That people were supposed to wave. They said billow. That's what they wanted to do. Billow the scarf over your head.
Billow.
During the song Heat Wave.
Okay?
But the problem is, half the idiots in the fan stands, they're doing that the whole time.
Sure.
Like they're supposed to be holding up the black cards and holding up the white cards.
I got a free Mr. Clean Wave.
Right. They're billowing these things over their heads.
Because they're fans. Even intelligent people, when they go in and they become fans, you're supposed to become stupid.
Meanwhile, you have group leaders who are like camp counselors. It was like a counselor for every 100 people.
Look at this, hon. I'm the group leader.
And these guys are wearing their stupid Super Bowl uniforms, right. and they're like cheerleaders. And they lost control of the crowd.
Mm.
And the guy in our section was screaming, no, cards down! Cards down! Heat wave!
He's going to be tortured later if the show doesn't come off. Those shows, man, they ought to just pack it in.
Yeah.
You know, show a movie or something.
So we got done with all that. When we got back to the hotel, we called Frida. That's the first thing Bart wanted to ask her. He said, did you see us at halftime? Did you see everybody do the stunt? And my wife said, no, they didn't show any stunt.
They didn't even show it on the TV.
Right.
No.
It was just a way to keep everybody involved.
And honor America as we salute Disney's triumph over Martha Stewart, you know, whatever.
That's right. You could be a part of the world's biggest halftime show.
Yeah.
You'll be seen by 200 billion people.
Oh, man, those shows, they just can't, they can do, all they try to do is make them as people-intensive as possible to get as many people involved, and they always end up sucky. There's just no way you can make a halftime show anything but sucky.
So, of course, the game was fantastic, and we decided we're going to stay for the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point when Brett Favre had the incomplete pass on fourth down, 28 seconds left. You knew that Green Bay was going to lose.
That's right.
At that point, I said to Bart, and I guess everybody in the stadium said to the person they were with,
mm-hmm.
now's the time to go.
Yeah, if you're not going to hang out for the presentation of the trophy.
Mm-hmm. Now, to let everybody out of the stadium, they opened up the big doors that they should have let us in with.
Yeah.
So you have people running, crazy running, and as you're leaving, you hear again the robotic, "Hi, this is Dick Enberg from NBC Sports. Hope you enjoyed yourself at the Super Bowl. Remember, to exit the stadium, turn directly to your left." And it was like Big Brother, like George Orwell, because wherever you went, you heard, "Hi, this is Dick Enberg. Hope you enjoyed yourself at the Super Bowl."
And everybody running desperately to get back to their hotel so that they can get up early and check out at the same time so they can get to the airport and leave at the same time.
And then we had a moment of decision, and tell me what you would have done. Bart and I got to the car, and at this point, because we were the last ones in the stadium to park, we were within 500 yards of the exit.
Great.
We got in the car, nobody was around us, and now the decision. Do we wait for Broyhill? Because, you know, we thought, he's a fast guy.
Right.
Yeah.
We motored as fast as we could, and we made it out there, and Bart was hobbling because he had the problem with his stomach at that point.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there, and now I'm saying to Bart, we'll give him 5 minutes.
That's cool.
Let's count on the clock. 5 minutes.
4, 3, 2, 1.
5 minutes goes. 5 minutes goes by.
Well, the theme of the weekend, of course, was we wait for no one. We wait for no one.
Yeah. Well, we did wait for him. We waited past 5 minutes, but I was getting antsy because by this time other people had worked their way to the back farthest part of the stadium where we were parked, and now I got my car out of the parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm turned and I'm ready to drive, and I've got my flashers on. And what I'm doing is I'm inching. I'm going like an eighth of a mile.
Are you coming up close to cars, or is it more than cars?
It's people. And people don't know how come I'm not moving.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got my flashers on like I'm some kind of idiot, and the car is moving just at a snail's pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I finally said to Bart, I'm going to keep going at this speed.
Mm-hmm.
And if Charles is not with us by the time we get to the exit,
then
I guess we're going to have to leave him behind.
I bet he made it, though.
He did.
Of course he did.
He barely made it.
Wow.
And you know what? He wasn't even running. He was just doing that kind of saunter that he has. You know, with his big pack of free stuff that he got for sitting in the press room.
Sure.
And he comes down, and I say, where were you? And here is his answer. They gave away free sandwiches after the game.
Food.
I swear to God.
Yeah, food.
So, you know, instead of leaving right away, he had to stay to eat one more free sandwich. I said, oh, come on. He says, oh, but look, I got a clipboard.
Hey. Way to go.
There you go. But then once we got out of the stadium.
So you made it out quick.
Oh, it was a beautiful feeling because we made it out, and then we laughed like the Simpsons the whole way home with our teeth showing, just thinking about all those saps that are still in the stadium.
We beat everybody.
Yeah, we did. Made it home in time to see Third Rock from the Sun.
Well, that was a great show.
Back at the hotel, and then that's when it all started.
That's when the
appendicitis started.
Oh, man. Well, at least you had a good time at the game.
We had a fantastic, and on the way home, this is what we sounded like.
Everybody got what they wanted.
Yeah, we sure did. It was a great trip. It was a great game. And
great Super Bowl, one of the best ever, really. Really one of the top five Super Bowls, I think.
This is Dick Enberg from NBC Sports. You want to make sure that everybody hates Dick Enberg by the time they leave the stadium.
Yeah. Having one door open, that'll do it every time.
Although, you know who was hated even more than Dick Enberg?
Who?
Randy Cross.
Oh, now let me tell you something.
Because they showed the NBC feed in the stadium.
Let me tell you, for everybody in that was watching the game with me, NBC, I want to compliment NBC on doing a great job. It was, you know, their swan song, the last big Super Bowl. They don't have the NFL anymore, but I will tell you this right now. The only thing that screwed up an otherwise great telecast was inserting
big-headed, big-toothed Randy Cross into that telecast
and listen,
no reason.
The people at the stadium, all of us at the stadium, we couldn't hear what he was saying.
Oh, man.
We just knew that he was stopping us from seeing something we wanted to see. And every time Randy Cross would come on, everybody would go, boo!
Well, what you missed was something along the lines of, in the first quarter, Brett Favre threw three times to the right side of the field, two times to the left side of the field, and one time to the center of the field. It's like, shut up! And they would go to the last second, and you know that there's going to be
a play.
Yeah,
the play was, and see, that's what was getting us, because we could see them lining up on the field, and you would see the snap count, the clock going down five, and everybody was going, even though you're at the game and you could see it, you want to see it on the screen at the same time.
It was so forced. It's like Randy Cross has a good agent and maybe got him a deal that said, if there's a Super Bowl telecast, cram me in somewhere so I can be on the TV.
And his mouth, man. That guy's got a mouth that Elway could laugh at.
Oh, absolutely.
That guy's got a huge mouth.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of mouth that you should just take a hook and worm out of. Absolutely. He's sitting there with his teeth going, here's what happened. This is the reason that it's like, no further. We want the analysis before the game. Show the game as it is.
Shut up. And you know why everybody was upset at the stadium? Everyone wanted to see the commercials.
Right.
Because they showed the feed of NBC's game, but then when it went to commercial, they would turn the feed off, and that's when they would put on the tape of Phil Hartman going, there have been some funny bounces this year in the NFL.
Well, the funniest one, the one that we laughed at a lot, there were two of them that were particularly funny. The first one, you know, the Frogs, as far as I'm concerned, too hyped. I thought the Frogs were too hyped. It was okay, but, you know, you've seen it, been there, done. The funny one, you know, they're all doing the computer stuff right now.
Right.
And the one was a skydiver who is going through the moves and opens a Diet Pepsi.
Oh, we
and
saw
pours
that.
It pours it into the goose's mouth. That's how good the commercials were.
Well,
the one I liked was for any guy that's ever been in a boutique or a shop while his wife is trying on clothes. You see a guy that goes in, he goes into this easy chair and he sits down and he's like getting ready and she's got this stack of clothes and says, "Honey, I'll be right back." And and she goes off to change the clothes and he's just, you know, he's the typical dumb looking guy that's sitting there going, and you just, hey buddy. And you see a clothes rack shaking in the corner of the store. And the guy gets down on all fours, and he opens it up, and it's this guy with a hibachi with sausages, and they do that whole thing. And that was it. Other than that, there weren't any really good. I didn't think, compared to years past, there weren't the real funny commercials that I was looking for. Too much technology, I think, and not enough good writing in the commercials.
What about the one I heard about where Jerry Seinfeld has butt sex with Lois Lane?
That was later in the game, and that was actually pretty good, and they showed it all. They showed it all of it, with all of it left in and nothing left out.
Lois says, "I want to have butt sex." And Superman says, "I can't do that. I'm a cartoon." And then Jerry says, "Wait, I can help you."
And then he spins around a bunch of times.
Three times in a row.
Bingo, butt sex.
Boom, we'll be right back.
WJFK.
Take care of it right away. Yes, ma'am.
You can call today. Call 1-800-9...
Pearson's Fluffy's on the roof again.
This is a time for pussycats with a killer on the loose.
Well, Fluffy's got kittens, and you know how you feel seeing your mother on the roof.
The Don and Mike Show.
They are Icelandic cowboys in the West. Don and Mike.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. This is Bark. Thank you for taking... I am very nervous, all right?
Hey, listen. Is this Judy Garland? Let me first say that is the
please,
biggest...
Please.
That is the biggest bunch of crap.
What?
I hear all kinds of people, especially on Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura.
Mm-hmm. No.
Hold on. No. I'm not mad at you. Slow down. People say, thank you for taking my call.
I didn't even know I was saying that.
We're not bashing you at all.
I just want to point out that everybody that does a show...
My heart's going 120 miles.
Calm down.
I'm sorry.
People on the radio would be dead without the people calling up. So... It's such a pompous formality to say,
I know.
Thank you for taking my call.
I said that. I hate myself.
Well, no, don't take it so seriously.
Don is just holding that up.
I can't believe I said it. Maybe.
All right, that's an example. That's all right.
Listen, you know, you made me change my mind on that subject. It's great to say thank you for taking my call.
That's the worst thing I ever heard. I can't believe I even said it.
Without you calling, we don't exist. You see, not necessarily you personally, but the callers.
Can I tell you, please?
You're a good listener. I can tell that already.
I tried, wrote notes so that I wouldn't waste time.
You
I
wrote
want
notes?
To tell you that
yeah.
you give the greatest gift of all, and that is laughter. And I am addicted to your show ever since it came to Baltimore.
Are
I
you,
love you both so much.
Ma'am, are you addicted to anything else? Cough syrup.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Now, listen, it sounded to me like you were prepared, that you said you had a list ready.
Yes, I said, right. You give the great, and you have your own individual style, and I'm just hopelessly addicted to your show.
Say when something.
I went,
Liza has made
when
such
I went
progress.
To Mississippi, I wondered where I could find you. I went to a trip, you know, and then, you know.
She
stuff.
Appeared
then
in Victor
was,
Victoria. She's just made
okay,
incredible strides.
How do you like Cosby? Everybody loves Raymond, Sybil. And then I just
listen,
loved,
what is she talking about?
I was out in the country, know. So I didn't have any electricity.
This is Liza Minnelli.
Hello?
Dan and Mike.
Hello?
How can I say this? Or a gay.
Yeah.
Hi. Yes, Liza.
Yeah. No. I said...
All right, listen, I'm going to give you a second to collect your thoughts.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
No,
hold on. I'm not...
Collect it.
Okay, hold on.
This is a good day. I'm not kidding you.
Hold on.
This is a good day. This is when you throw off that trolling net, and you're getting... I mean, we're getting all keepers today.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, this is Floyd. I'm just wanting to say you guys have a great show.
Thank you, Floyd.
First of all, you guys were talking about Jack Wagner yesterday. Melrose.
Endlessly talking about... Oh, you're right, we did. We mentioned him on Melrose, yes.
Yeah, well, I've seen that dude naked, man.
You've seen Jack Wagner naked?
I've
really?
I've seen Whitey Herzog, Tory.
Hey, listen to this.
Wow.
Before we get on that topic...
Yeah.
Is there anybody else as cynical as me who, when you heard the reports last night, thought that maybe Joe Torre's brother is going to the hospital again just to get that sympathy thing going for the Yankees?
Oh, sure. It's a Yankee. It's a Yankee conspiracy.
Because remember, now, last year, the guy really almost did croak.
Right. Yeah.
And it was during the World Series, and everybody
sure.
had that sentimental feeling for Joe Torre.
Nice.
Well, the guy's been doing great.
Right.
Now the Yankees are back in the playoffs, and he's in the hospital, and they're making a point of saying, nothing life-threatening, but they get to do that same scenario again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Joe Torre trying to win one for his brother.
Imagine that. He's talking to his players, probably manipulating them, too, before the game, going, listen, my brother will not pull through unless we get another ring. Do you understand, boys? Go out and do it for the Gipper.
And who hit Joe Torre with such an ugly stick?
Oh, I think he's a handsome man.
I mean, he was not good-looking when he was a player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even worse now, because... He's getting all bumpy and hairy and stuff.
He's pretty damn ugly naked.
He looks like he can really see well at night. He really has those kind of eyes.
You've seen all those guys naked?
Yeah, I was working at a country club in St. Louis, and they were all members out there.
Really? Right. Hold on a second. Okay. Let me check on my other nutty caller.
Hold on.
We got Floyd here, and we got Liza here.
Hey, Liza.
Yeah?
All right, now, have you collected your thoughts?
Well, they're collected.
Okay.
I just wanted to compliment you on your L.A., connection with Sybil and
All right, now hold on. We might be able to get back to you if you can just collect those thoughts
right.
again, Liza.
Hold on a second. I'm coming back to you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Don and Mike.
Well, who's this? This was the other guy. This is not Floyd?
No.
Oh. Who is this?
This is Mel from Austin.
Mel. Yes, hello, Mel.
Yeah, you were talking about Joe Torre a little while ago?
Yes,
yeah.
Mel.
Have you watched HBO? Have you seen previews for...
Well, that's something else.
But
I'll tell you this, based on my experience, every man named Mel is absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't
right.
agree. I couldn't agree with you more.
All Mels are handsome.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that
up front
and
hey,
for the record.
Can I say something to Mike?
Yes, Mel.
Hey, Mike, I'm a big fan of the impressions, man.
Thank you, Mel. I appreciate that. It's very nice of you. And taking that from Mel, that's from a Mel,
yeah,
that's a
Mel.
Wonderful compliment.
Yeah. I know. We love Mel.
That's terrific.
We love all Mels. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, Buzz.
Yeah.
Hey, I tried calling KHTK from down here, and they won't even answer the telephone anymore.
Well, where is down here? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lincoln, just outside of Sacramento. But they have a a cell number where it's like 1140. You push star 1140, you call in.
Right, yeah.
And,
are you on a tractor right now?
Yeah, I'm in a truck.
You're in a truck?
A truck, a trailer.
Not quite a tractor, though.
No, not exactly a tractor. But, I mean, I called in, and the phone rang like 45 times, and then it went to a busy signal. They won't even answer the phone anymore.
Well, that could have been a problem with the cell phone. With the cell phone network.
Okay.
Or perhaps, you're right, the show's so incredibly powerful, we've blown out all the telephones in Northern California.
Oh, I tell you, I hope it doesn't disrupt our intervention with Liza.
Well, thank you.
How are you doing, baby?
Well, thank you. Bob Barker and Sybil interview, they were the greatest, but I was way out in the country, and I had no electricity, so I couldn't record it. And I don't... know. It's funny.
You were out in the country. Were you, like, walking around disoriented, not knowing where you were?
No. I have a place in the country with no electricity.
Right. Hold on, Lark. Hold on a second.
Okay. In the country with no electricity.
Now, Floyd.
Yes, sir.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Tell me, of the celebrities you mentioned, it was Jack Wagner, Whitey Herzog, and Joe Torre. I've
seen them all naked.
Brett Hull, Curtis Joseph.
Who had the most?
I would have to say Whitey.
Whitey?
Whitey? What a surprise, the redhead.
Yeah, well,
surprise,
I'm surprised
a white guy would have a big one, and much less a guy named Whitey. That goes against all the stereotypes.
Exactly.
Whitey.
I think Joe would have the littlest one.
Well, you must answer this. What about Jack Wagner?
Jack Wagner is little.
Little
bitty jank.
All right, hold on a second, Floyd.
He's this guy in a country club locker room staring at all of them.
Don and Mike Joe. No wonder they were so small. They knew he was staring. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You are on the air.
Yes, speak to us.
Hola.
Go ahead.
Oh. Hola.
Yes, I detected that. It's just Isaac.
Hello,
Liza?
No.
Who is this?
This is Peggy.
Peggy. Hello, Peggy.
Hi. I just wanted to know that I think you should get Liza and Dennis Murphy together.
You know, there's love in the air. Everybody always wants to hook up Dennis and find that woman who's going to be his soul partner.
She is an idea man. Hello, Lark.
Yes.
Lark, that's the lady's name in Baltimore.
Yes, and I've sent, many of contributions here on Jingle Contest.
Yes, Lark.
Thank you.
Sure,
I can't believe I'm speaking. Well, you know, you really are. My radio guys, I'm sorry. You can make fun of me all you want,
Lark,
because it doesn't matter anymore.
We love you. We're not making fun of you.
It doesn't matter anymore, you see?
I don't like the sound of that. It doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Why
because
not?
I have seen...
She's
the other side of the mountain.
Yeah, so she's reached the mountaintop because she's talked to Don and Mike.
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Okay, I'll tell you. Haley Mills.
All right, hold on a second, Lark. Hold on, I have to do a commercial. I want to come back and talk to you after the break, okay?
All right, hold on a second. Haley Mills out at her country house without electricity.
And Floyd?
Yep.
Floyd, I want to leave you on hold through the break also. Just tell me this.
Yes.
Of Jack Wagner, Joe Torre, and Whitey Herzog, how many of those gentlemen were circumcised?
All of them.
All of them.
Circumcised.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's true, sir.
Our first golf applause of the day.
All right, hold on, Floyd.
Okay.
Hold on a second. All right, we'll continue in a second. Be right back. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.